Newly released documents regarding the 2016 murder of DNC staffer Seth Rich have surfaced thanks to attorney Ty Clevenger battling the FBI's stonewalling for nearly a decade through FOIA requests. Now a government lawyer has promised confirmation of several hundred pages of Seth Rich-related documents that were unearthed in a previously hidden, unmapped, and sealed SCIF room. This discovery, like the burn bags of classified files linked to the Crossfire Hurricane operation, exposes a deliberate concealment at the highest levels.
Sadly, we found a room locked away in the Hoover Building that contained burn bags. And just for your audience, Sean, a burn bag is a government bag that is specifically created to destroy classified evidence and shred and burn it. Hence the name burn bag. We didn't find one. We found seven. That wasn't the only thing we found in there. We found hard drives from our predecessors and prior FBI leadership and folks like Page, Strzok, Comey, McCabe, Comey. The list goes on from Russiagate. The names were strewn all over these materials.
Frankly, the FBI should be ashamed of themselves, and so should the Department of Justice.
On July 10th, 2016, Seth Rich was gunned down in a so-called botched robbery in Bloomingdale, D.C. Rich's wallet, phone, and valuables untouched. Two bullets in his back. The FBI initially claimed zero involvement, no records, handing it off to local police. But then, years later, they admitted holding thousands of pages, Rich's work laptop, images of his personal device, and more.
We Do you even know what you're sitting on?
WikiLeaks never sits on material. Our whistleblowers go to significant efforts to get us material, and often very significant risks. As a 27-year-old who works for the DNC, who was shot in the back, murdered just 2 weeks ago, for unknown reasons as he was walking down the street in Washington. So
that was just a robbery, I believe, wasn't it?
No, there's no finding. So
what are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that our sources take risks, and they become concerned to see things occurring like that.
But was he one of your sources then? I mean,
we don't comment on who our sources are.
Why make the suggestion about a young guy being shot in the streets of Washington?
Because we have to understand how high the stakes are in the United States.
With fresh court motions as recent as June 2026 highlighting ongoing violations of orders to release, now this secret vault uncovered amid 2025 sweeps of the Hoover Building suggests high-level actors had everything to hide. Was the botched robbery narrative simply a convenient lie to bury deeper truths about DNC leaks, WikiLeaks, and the Russia hoax machinery?
Now, some believe that Rich's laptop had been confiscated by federal agents and that they, or the key data, had never been released to the public. Others alleged that the case had been deliberately buried to prevent exposure of a larger scandal involving voter fraud and party corruption or illegal intel operations. And the conspiracy theory, as we say, persisted, in part because it was never given a definitive open and shut answer, only dismissals by institutions that many Americans no longer trust.
This is the cybersecurity unit at DHS. So they have to contextualize their censorship operations as being cyber-related somehow. So instead of just calling it First Amendment violating government censorship, they say, no, it's just borrowing from the cyber kill chain model, which just serves as an inspiration for this framework. So it's cybersecurity.
This latest discovery has caught the deep state completely off guard. Their playbook in real time, erasing trails, gaslighting the public, and weaponizing disinformation labels to silence questions. Will these pages finally expose the truth, or will more burn bags and sealed vaults bury it all again? John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network at alexjoneslive.com.
Fellow Americans, I'm back. The Nixon 28 collection is now available, and I must say, it looks tremendous. Go to the AliceJonesStore.com and pick yours up today. You'll be glad you did. Ultimate Power Drink Mix. The fantasy is real, and it's delicious. Visit the AlexJonesStore.com today.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live on the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com. Share that link. It is, of course, the 8th of July, 2026. We got a lot of stuff to cover, but right now, as we speak, Alex Jones is debating live streamer Sneeko. So we're going to go to that. We're going to simulcast it, and I'm going to provide commentary over top. Sneeko, if you're unfamiliar, he's a very popular in-real life streamer and just random streamer. He's sort of been all over the map. I guess he got started more like men's rights stuff. I sort of didn't know who he was for a while. I knew he'd done stuff with Nick Fuentes. I knew he was more on the conservative side. But I actually went on his stream a couple months ago. I was very confused because he just kept trying to get me to like go along with Islam taking over America, and I just kept being like, why would I be okay with that? That's crazy. But pushing the false dichotomy that if you're against Israel, you must be on the side of Islam, or in some cases, radical Islam. This is an absurd dichotomy that Alex Jones will be breaking down now for Sneeko. So we go now to Alex Jones live with Sneeko on the streaming site Kick, and I will be interrupting with commentary when appropriate. Here it is.
No, there's three things.
Hadiths are not in the Quran. You clearly haven't read it if you think hadiths are in the Quran. So because you don't know about Islam, let's talk about
Muslim scholars. Saying Islam doesn't say you convert or you pay the tax or your head gets cut off.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So let's talk about what I said, because you don't know about Islam.
Hey, everybody, take clips of this and then show 50 emails saying it, and then show the hadiths and then show the Quran.
Alex, maybe you've seen a lot of Facebook posts, and it seems like you're getting a lot of boomer propaganda. Let's be specific about what did I say? Because you just made up a bunch of things I didn't say. You said I'm coming to stick a flag up your butt. I'm here to dominate. I didn't say any of that. What did I say?
You said we're going to take over every house.
I didn't say that.
Cities.
I said, in Christian language, something similar. I don't know what type of Christianity you are. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess. I said, inshallah, the whole world becomes Muslim. I believe I have the truth. I want goodness for the world. I want you to have the truth. Christians want other people to become Christian too. Why should I hide? Why should I act like I don't want goodness for other people? Of course, inshallah, do you know what this means? If you know, you read the Quran. What is inshallah? God willing. So it's not up to me. It's not up to any force. It's not up to anybody forcing you and converting you with the sword and threatening.
Oh, yeah. Islam never does that. Hey, Muslims always bitch about the Crusades. Were the Crusades a response to 700 years of Muslim invasion? Did the Muslims take Spain and put over 2 million women into sex slavery?
Well, if you want to talk about Christian expansion, we can too. But in the Quran, it says that you don't force anybody to convert. People willingly accept Islam. Nobody is trying to spread it by the sword. I want people to hear the truth and accept it. That's why I say, inshallah.
Convert? Pay the tax or have your head cut off. Convert, pay the tax, or have your head cut off.
You don't know about Islam, so you might just, you should avoid this stuff, and let's talk about what I said.
You're just hoping people don't know. I do know. You didn't think I knew what inshallah meant. I know what all that means.
Yeah, but you said that I'm trying to force it and stick a flag up your butt. I didn't say any.
You're sitting there.
You want to know why I said this?
I didn't say that. Like what the Muslim invaders
were taking over
on their Zodiac boats with Soros. They're
what's like, the Muslim population in America?
And then you got the, 200-to-1 Muslims raping and stabbing and murdering people all over Europe and running over the world.
200-to-1. Even according to Tommy Robinson on the Epstein list, the majority of pedophiles in the UK are white Christians.
Oh my God.
Even the Pakistani Boomer Gangs.
There are no doubt there are a bunch of pedophiles in the UK.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt that they, according to Tommy Robinson, it's predominantly white people. And pick the little girls up and put them in dog cages.
Okay, before we get all heated, let's talk about what I said. Okay, we don't, there's a lot of things and you're spreading a lot of, it seems like you don't really know about Islam. What I said was God willing.
Okay, see, that's a throwaway line. That's just saying, oh, looks like you don't know. You're like, what does inshallah mean? You sit there, and what we're going to do with this is, Sneeko, is we're going to take what you said, we're going to show the Quran, we're going to show the Hadith, we're going to show the imams.
Absolutely.
Top ones show the Quran on international Islamic
yes,
TV.
Read the Quran.
Saying,
read the Quran.
You convert, you pay the tax, or we cut your head off.
Okay. Sure. There's two things here. So you're afraid of an Islamic takeover of America, right? And you're saying the thing I said, F you. Do you know that I was banned from Australia? The game that I was at, you said this was an Allahu Akbar rally. This was a World Cup game. Egypt was playing Australia. Egypt beat Australia. I'm happy. Australia banned me. Do you want to know why, Alex? Similar things that happened to you. Attacks. Australia banned me. They said I was too anti-Semitic and I was too critical of Israel. They listed a bunch of reasons in an email saying that I criticize and that I'm anti-Semitic, and they revoke my visa. So when Egypt beat Australia, I'm like,
he's playing the
victim
again. We can pull down for a second while he's complaining about being insufferable. They have a certain talking points. So Sneeko is new to Islam. He doesn't understand Islam to a large degree. There was a very funny instance a little while ago where Sneeko was talking to a Sunni Muslim, and he was like, how do we feel about Shiite Muslims? And the Sunni was like, oh, no, we're fine. We're all one big family. It's like, that's a lie, Sneeko. How do you not know this? How do you not know the Sunnis and the Shiites are, like, deadly enemies? And it's what's behind a lot of the chaos and strife in the Middle East right now. He doesn't actually understand Islam. He's got a couple talking points that he likes to push out. He's rolls his eyes at the little British girls being raped by Muslim gangs. Obviously, every country is going to have pedophiles. It's not really too much you can do about that except for punish them when you find them. Importing millions of people who run rape gangs in collaboration with the police is an entirely different and uniquely Islamic phenomenon. You could say it was Jewish also with the Jeffrey Epstein organization, but in the UK, obviously, this is happening on a mass scale with the Muslim invaders. He knows that. He's playing stupid. Then the other thing he says is, how many Muslims are there? He's going to try to get them on. Well, there's only 1%. It's like, okay, so before there's too many of them, we're not supposed to talk about it because there's only 1%. It's only 5%. There's only 10%. There's only 20% Muslims. What's the big deal? Until they get to a certain threshold, at which point they take over and it's too late. So, yeah, you have to call them out and say 1%. Might not be that much, but look at all the problems they're already causing. Look at what's happening in Dearborn, Michigan, and, anywhere else that they gather in large numbers, they take over and start enforcing aspects of Sharia law. So, back to Sneeko, who himself doesn't even understand Islam and is constantly asking imams on his stream, like, what do we think about this? And then they lie to him. I'm sure in private, they're like, actually, when I said that, that wasn't totally true. But go ask an actual Sunni or Shiite, what they actually feel about the other side. It's not one big happy family. Back to Sneeko and Alex.
Mom's side of the family, the Greshams, who went back to England and then invented the stock exchange, a bunch of other stuff. But they were Christians that came over here, and then they owned a bunch of stuff and were rich in New York. And they met with Andrew Jackson when he was president down at the Hermitage in Tennessee.
All right.
And he said, I want Western expansion. It'll be after I'm out of office. And he said, I want you to, because you're volunteering, I want the Gresham family to sell your holdings. They accepted the plan that they came up with. My ancestors engineered the Texas Revolution. Took them 10 years. They came in with two ships at Galveston, had shootouts with the Jesuit priests. A bunch of people got killed. One of the ships got taken. The other ship got in. They went up the river to Washington on the Brazos, started bringing in Protestants out of Tennessee, Alabama, and Virginia. Took them 10 years to set up the operations. And then we basically started a fight with their dictator, Santa Anna, a decade later and launched the war. So that's what these Islamists are too, is they're coming in as the foot soldiers to prepare the way for the takeover. And the government of Islam is Sharia law.
The government of Islam.
And they're pushing their Sharia law.
Which government?
My God,
that
he
is
does,
the governing
He doesn't know
system,
the word government. He thinks with, Alex is talking about a nation.
The Wahhabis, that is 80% of Islam.
Those are completely different. Wahhabis and Shias have nothing
That's what I just said. I just said. The Shiites are 19%.
You think Iran is trying to take over America?
The Wahhabist Sunnis are 79%, and then the rest 2% is Alawites and a few other groups. I know all that.
Okay, where is that happening? Where is that spreading in America?
In other groups of Islam. What I'm saying is, in both major branches of Islam, but particularly in Wahhabist, it is the Sharia law down to the local imam that is the governing system of Islam. Okay. So is Iran. It is the Islamic Republic. The rulership is through Sharia.
What is Sharia law? What is Sharia? What does that mean?
Sharia law is the law. Governing what is, system what is, of Islamic what is, control what is Sharia and the mean? Three forms of jihad.
What does Sharia mean?
Sharia is the Islamic law.
It means law. Sharia means law.
That's what I just said.
In Sharia law, if you're a Muslim
trying to act like I don't know about Islam, I know all about it.
First off, let me explain.
I nailed every one of your little factoids.
No, you didn't, because Sharia means law. And
what
under,
you said? I said it's the Islamic law. You just said, Sneeko, I said it's Islamic law.
Alex, we're just getting started. Sharia means law. Under Sharia law, Muslims are supposed to follow the law of the land. Nobody here is trying to change the Constitution. In fact, it seems like you are, because you think that I should be deported for exercising my First Amendment rights. We have freedom of religion here.
You are such a, either you're super ignorant.
We have freedom of speech. Under Sharia law, you obey the law.
I got thousands of top imams saying, we will make you take Sharia law. I got them at the state houses in Congress.
Where?
Everywhere saying, you're going to adopt Sharia law.
Where are you seeing it?
Yeah,
in
this
America?
Is absolutely how it works. Let me explain how it works. And I heard this directly from an imam. I wish I could find the video, but this was like when I was very early at InfoWars, probably, 8 years ago. But it works like this. If somebody runs as a Muslim and achieves office, not promising Sharia law, saying I'm going to uphold the laws of the state and, the laws as they exist, and I'm going to be a good American mayor, whatever it is, then that's what they're obligated to do in the confines of Sharia Islamic law. They basically lose legitimacy if they try to enact Sharia, if that's not what they said they were going to do. However, if they want to run for office and say, elect me and I will impose Sharia law, then according to their, religious paradigm, they're then allowed to enact Sharia law. If that's what they got elected saying they were going to do, then that's what they're going to do. So this is just a game they're playing where nobody's trying to enforce Sharia law. That's because internally in their own, because Alex is absolutely right. Islam is as much a governing political structure as it is a religion. Like if you read the books, almost all the book is about like how to govern things and how emirs should be elected. Like that's the idea. An emir is a leader. And they say as an emir, you lose legitimacy if you try to impose Sharia law. If that's not what you said you were going to do when you got elected. If, however, you say elect me and I'll impose Sharia law and you get elected, then there's no barrier within the Islamic system to you imposing Sharia law. So until they're a majority, they're going to say nobody's imposing Sharia law. As soon as they can get elected by promising to impose Sharia law, then there's no barrier to it. This is the way it works internally with the structure of the governance of Islam. Back to the ignorant Muslim and Alex Jones.
Don't you support it? Elon Musk is big tech, and he's there calling for deportation just like you. You allied with Elon Musk. He is big tech.
I cover all of that. Now, the point is, getting back to this, because you don't want me to nail you down on this stuff.
No. I'm telling you that you are echoing the propaganda of the people that you pretend to be against.
No, I know. I knew all you would do is claim I'm echoing Zionist propaganda. I'm explaining something to you. I can be against a cobra. I don't want to be put in a cage with 10 cobras or 10 vipers. I don't want to be put in a cage with 10 water moccasins or rattlesnakes. So if Israel's a cobra and Islam is a viper, you're saying, oh, you're against a viper, so you're for the king cobra. And that is not. I am 100%. I did a four-hour show today and spent 2 hours on Israel trying to take over our military and intelligence and being listed as the top national security
threat. And how do they brainwash Americans to support their cause?
But let me you raise this claim. Let me finish. It's a false equivalency, apples and oranges, to say if I'm worried about expansionist Orthodox Islam, that then I'm covering Zionist propaganda. The Zionists have been successful with many boomers and people saying,
how?
You must support Israel and Christian Zionists support it.
How do they get support?
Let me finish. Or you're for Islam. I am not one of those people. I am saying Islam is a threat to the West, and so is the greater Israel project.
You haven't had any substantial evidence to show that Islam is a threat in America. You said no. You said Durka. You don't even know who's trying to bring in Sharia law here. And again, you haven't even.
This is what's so stupid. We don't need a reason. We don't need an excuse. You are trying to impose your religion on us. We don't need an excuse to oppose that. It's like, well, you're not allowed to dislike Muslims until you can point to an exact example of how it's affected you in your life. No, we can just not want Islam here, just like the Islamic countries don't want Christianity there. You know how many churches there are in Saudi Arabia? Zero. There's zero churches inside Saudi Arabia because they don't feel the need to open up their borders to people of different religions. We are under no obligation to do that. We have our own country, which allows freedom of religion. And if we want that to be maintained, then we have to keep out the people who don't believe in freedom of religion, which includes all Muslims. You can come here, you can be Muslim, but you cannot try to impose that on everybody else. That would be in violation of the Constitution, and we should be on guard against that, obviously. And we're under absolutely no obligation. We do not need to fulfill his requirements for you're not allowed to oppose us until we do one of two things. No, we can just oppose you. You can shut up and go away. You don't like us. You're not like us. You want to impose things on us that are contrary to what we believe, so go away. No, I have no requirement to fulfill to believe that or to say that. Back to Sneeka.
Now they want to do that in Cuba, arrest Raul Castro, but then put the communists back in. I don't believe the U.S. should do regime change and then not have free and fair elections. So I said I'm against it because they will.
So you oppose Venezuela regime change. Good. You didn't?
What I just said was, I said if they had free and fair elections, but they won't. So then I said that I would not support it. Yes, that's
well,
what
I'm
I said.
Against it. And it was I was proven right. And there's now IDF soldiers there. They're taking over. $2 billion worth of oil was sent directly
like
to Israel.
Oh, that's like IDF is training ICE. Where's the evidence of that?
Now,
the IDF is in Argentina, and that's one of the biggest Jewish populations, and they are trying to take the property and the government over because I think they may sacrifice Israel to create World War II scenario victim
playing. You're saying a lot of things. Let's get to the core issue, right? Okay, so you want to protect the demographics. You don't want an invasion. You don't want foreign influence, right? Our country is dominated by Jewish
Christian. I'm a Christian American nationalist, and white people are demonized by the left, by the Red Green Alliance, by Israel and everybody, and I'm sick of it. White people are 7% of the world population. Anglo-Saxons are like 2%.
There's no point
and
in just preaching.
I am sick of being run over.
Okay.
And everybody that's declared war on us, I'm saying, okay, then.
You think I declared war on you?
And you want to declare war?
You think
war,
I declared war?
Israel? I don't care if you're a Muslim. I don't care if you're
war. You want a crusade? Now you're
don't worry. You're gonna get one, pal.
You're gonna okay. Then well done. You just played it to the hands of the Jewish supremacists controlling our country.
It ain't gonna
well
be.
Done.
No, no.
That's what Elon Musk wants you to do.
It's gonna
Alex.
Be. And you can
summon in a pedophile demographic in Europe. I told you,
oh,
white guys.
500,000 girls groomed by the Islamics.
250,000 was the estimated number. You just doubled it, and that's completely conflated.
It's 500,000 now. They had it in Parliament, and here's the other. Thing
500,000 estimated. You even look at the report.
We know Keir Starmer protected them. We know the British leadership are a bunch of pedophiles. I exposed that 30 years ago.
Okay. Do you want to? Okay, so let's get to the core of the issue. So you established that you're a Christian white nationalist. You want to protect your demographic, correct? Is that your main?
No. What I've established is I am a Christian populist. Nationalist.
You want to protect the demographic?
Those are my terms. Who will not allow all these tribal organized groups, organized Islam backed by 53 countries, Israel backed by most of the billionaires and their nuclear weapons and all of their lobbies. And then we're told as Christians, period, whether you're black or white, Hispanic, and as Americans or capitalists, and particularly as white, that we're the devil, and we got to shine shoes and bow down to Black Lives Matter and
Soros. Are you doing a rant, or do you want
to
have a conversation?
To anybody except Jesus.
Done. Cool.
And if you want a war, you got one.
Nobody wants a war. They want you to start a race war so that they can continue justifying their wars.
No, it's not going to be. It's going to be a cultural velvet revolution. The new renaissance, the new crusade will be the energizing of team humanity led by the central pillar of Earth, the West, the superior system that developed almost all the modern technology and systems.
If you're watching the chat, by the way, everybody's on Alex's team. I'm just seeing Alex W., based, you know, Alex winning. Every Sneeko's just lying. He goes, this whole thing is because he goes to the Times Square thing and is like, we're going to take over. This is an Islamic country. New Yorkistan. We're taking up. He's full of crap. He's lying. He knows exactly what he's doing. He wants to yell for conquest out of one side of his mouth. And then on the other side go, oh, but if you oppose us, you're on. I don't think anybody's actually falling for this except for the probably dumbass Muslims that know exactly what he's doing and thinks he's engaged in some sophisticated Takiya manipulation. Nobody's falling for it, dumbasses. Back to Alex.
Okay. There you, oh, you're not, you didn't live in Connecticut?
Go yeah, no, there? I did. I was in Connecticut. Oh, I had to go home. I had to go home on Sandy Hook.
My son's co-host knows you.
I know. Your son, and he does a podcast with somebody.
No, his co-host knows you from Connecticut.
Relax. I know. You're not saying anything we don't know.
It's all about you, Sneaky.
Calm down. Sneaky. I was born in New York City, and I grew up in New Haven, Connecticut, and I had to go home from school when Sandy Hook happened, that school shooting.
And you support a Democrat talking point.
Okay.
You know,
and people
all
like
did,
you said there were crisis actors.
You know, all I did was interview a few people that said it didn't happen. I had a few debates. The Google searches from when it happened to when they sued me didn't exist.
I'm only bringing this up because you want to do ad hominem attacks.
They brought it up as a way to demonize me. They raised $300 million.
You're the one demonizing me and calling me a jihadist terrorist. Do you want to actually talk about an issue or do you just want to chimp out and yell the whole time? Do you want to talk?
Oh, chimping out. Yes. Yeah.
You are.
You're out.
You are chimping out. I mean, for a white nationalist, you're chimping out crazy.
Great. Here's the difference. Intellectual gravitas and tens of millions of people that support me behind it.
Okay, great. Congratulations. So do you want to protect the West or not? Do you want to have this conversation?
Oh, yes, sure. I want to protect the West.
Because you can see that deporting me is stupid. I'm exercising my First Amendment rights. I'm practicing freedom of religion. And I'm not declaring war. You're the one declaring a cultural war, whatever. I don't want war. I'm against it. So you want to protect the West. What is the number one issue? Who is dragging us into these wars that destroy the West, Alex?
False dichotomy.
Israel and the Jewish charities.
What propaganda do they use to get Americans to support?
They say that Iran wants to destroy them, so they've got to do that. Well, they blamed Iraq with WMDs, which was a lie. They Project for the American Century from April 2000. Cooked up by
again. This is the false dichotomy. Like Alex puts it, you don't need to be on the side of the cobra if you are against the viper. I would say that, you know, rock isn't friends with scissors just because it fights because they both fight paper, right? Again, it is strictly a false dichotomy. Yes, Islamic people are Muslim people are demonized in order to encourage wars in the Middle East. So what? So if we're against the war, we must love Muslim people? That's retarded, okay? That doesn't make any sense. No, you can be against the wars in the Middle East and also be against Muslims in your country taking over as they do. Because once again, even if there's just 1% of Muslims in this country, when they all coagulate around Dearborn, Michigan, then that suddenly you start having the Muslim call to prayer interrupting the day five times a day, early in the morning and late at night. Suddenly you have American people who, in their traditions, suddenly don't get the support that they did from the city like they used to. They move in and they take over. They conquer. This is what Islam is. It's what it's always been. It has never been anything other than a force in which to conquer people. And they're doing it now through demographics. And Sneeko knows that very well. That's why he has to try to play the game of, oh, if you're against us, you must be in favor of the Jews, because he can't actually make the argument that this is in any way beneficial for the American people, that the American people would like this. He talks about wanting to save the West. The West is defined against Islam. It used to be called Christendom. It was the land of the Christians. It's why Christendom went to war in the Middle East with the Crusades, because that used to be a part of Christendom. The Middle East used to be Christian till it was taken over by Muslims in the 400 and 500s, and that continued all the way up to the Battle of Tours with Charles the Hammer Martel, as well as several instances in Austria with the Turks and the Winged Hussars. I mean, he doesn't know any of this. Nico knows none of this. He doesn't know anything. He does not know anything. He is a useful idiot.
Introducing Aquapure, the ultimate water filter showerhead. Ladies and gentlemen, on your screen are the major third-party scientific tests. This is the very best, top-of-the-line water filtration system for your shower head. It just takes seconds to be screwed on to any system, no plumbers. You owe it to yourself, your husband, your wife, your children to cut out the gender bending chemicals that are in all the major tap water supplies. Most well water is contaminated as well. You can't just filter the water you drink. One of the biggest places you can pull the studies up that we absorb poisons is through our skin and through our lungs. The amount of chlorine in major water supplies is insane. You know, if you put fish in tap water, even if you aerate it, even if you feed them, they die within hours. That's because it's toxic. That's because it's poison. Chlorine alone kills bacteria. Great, you don't get dysentery, but it destroys your gut flora, and it's directly linked to cancer. Then you've got the fluoride, you've got the lead, you've got the arsenic. This system reduces it all 95 to 95%. Now, we've got gravity-fed filters that cut it all out, but those are drip, drip, drip. This system is the very best on the market and reduces it from 95 to 99%, depending on the hundreds of chemicals that are out there in the studies that have been done. And that is the top of the line because it's forcing it through fast. It's got really good pressure, and you are reducing it down 95 to 99%. That is the best you are going to get if you live in one of these cities with the deadly tap water. And so many areas like Los Angeles are toilet to tap. They recycle the birth control and the Adderall and all the thousands of pharmaceuticals and the feces and the tampons and the microplastics all go back in, go through all these complex systems. They fill with all this chlorine and then they ship it back out down your water pipes. And not to mention what's in the pipes and all the buildup. And then when sewage runs off, it gets into the water supply. You are insane if you're drinking tap water. And you can look up the studies for yourself. Almost all well water and aquifers in the United States are heavily contaminated with thousands of different chemicals like lead and mercury and arsenic and fluoride and other forever chemicals. So again, I can tell you forever in my home, we have these systems, and it does hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of showers before it's got to be replaced. The head's not replaced. We have the replacement filters for $30. For this quality, nobody can beat it, and it funds our operation against the globalists. This is very, very competitive at the normal retail. Listen to this. Normal retail is $139, but for everybody, it's $97.99, that's 30% off. And for VIP, $69.99. That is a steal at that deal. So anybody buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, whether it's t-shirts, high-quality supplements, water filters, you name it, should be a VIP. It's $30 a month. Instantly get $40 to spend, special deals, special offers, and special sales on top of sales on everything. Cancel any time, so it's not even a commitment. You just get the better deals. We get to remind you of those, and we've got a lot of really satisfied customers. Over 90%+ reorder rate on our supplements, and it's starting to happen with our water filters as well because we've got the best deals, and it funds our information warfare operation. This is the best. You owe it to yourself. Secure yours now while supplies last at thealexjonesstore.com, and I want to thank you for supporting the transmission while at the same time making yourself healthier, wealthier, and wise. God bless you all. Now take action now.
All right, folks, welcome back. The Sneeko Alex debate is heating up, and the entire chat, this is on Sneeko's channel, Sneeko's entire chat is making fun of him, saying Sneeko L, and being like, let him have it, Alex. I mean, literally, the whole thing. He doesn't know history, he's lying, he basically just asked what jihad was, and he was like, smiling is jihad. It's like, dude, who do you think you're fooling? And then he says, Israel started Hamas. Not entirely true. Like, he knows these talking points. Like, he knows something happened where Israel funded Hamas at some point. He has no idea of the nuances. He has no idea of the actual intricacies. He has no, in reality, Israel did promote Hamas early on because they were scared of the Palestinian nationalistic cause, which was the PLO, which didn't define itself as Islamic. It wasn't saying we're an Islamic group and we're going to have Islamic domination. That's what Hamas was. And so because the biggest danger to Israel at the time was the PLO, a nationalistic group, they gave support to the Muslim-centered group, thinking that it would be a useful weapon against the PLO and the nationalistic people. He has no idea about this. And this was, you know, 30 years ago. Since then, yes, Netanyahu has been funding Hamas, again, to keep them in charge in order to, you know, justify a war against Gaza, obviously. But then he says, and he just sort of drops it in. I don't think Alex heard him. He's like, and they funded Hezbollah too. And it's like, no. See, he doesn't know. He just thinks, oh, he hears, you know, Israel funded Hamas. And he's like, therefore, Israel is puppeteering all of the Islamic extremists. That's absolutely untrue. Hezbollah was in absolutely no way funded or created by Israel. If anything, it was funded and created by Iran following the peaceful, or, well, not peaceful, but not very violent revolution of 1979 with the return of Ayatollah Khomeini and the ousting of the Shah. Again, Sneeko knows none of this. All he knows is lies. All he knows is when they say jihad, you know, tell him that actually smiling is jihad. He is talking nonsense. He's just saying talking points that he himself doesn't even understand. And he knows less about the history of Islam than myself or Alex do. Back to them.
Alex, if you want to protect
you, even said I didn't know what God's will was. Listen, let me make my point here.
You made a lot of points. Let me finish real quick and then you can go. Is that fair? You've talked most of the time. If you want to stop the endless wars, if you want to protect your demographic, if you care about Christian values, then looking at the Muslims who are 1.3% of the population in America, when we believe Jesus is the Messiah, we believe in the Immaculate Conception, we believe in the Virgin Mary, we believe that Jesus will return, maybe focusing an energy and saying that you're going to declare a culture war on Muslims is a distraction. Maybe that's not helping the cause. Maybe saying, oh my God, they're trying to take over when there's not a sort of mass immigration coming from Muslims at all. This is helping the Israelis that are destroying the West and not actually helping you. If you want to protect your demographics, then stop repeating what they want you to say. Don't say jihadist and don't call me a terrorist. Call for my deportation when I'm exercising my free speech rights. You are playing into their hand. And if you want to talk about the immigration in Europe, why do all these immigrants go into the UK? They come in predominantly from Syria, from Afghanistan, from Iraq.
Yeah, I know they're refugees.
These are refugees the result of these endless wars that the Israelis create. And the propaganda that they feed good Americans and brainwash us with is that radical Muslims are taking over. Right, so don't repeat and echo these fear-mongering lies that only help them out and destroy your demographic. If you care about Americans, you care about whites, and you care about Christians.
All right, you repeated that 8 times. Why did you say in that viral video that we're going to, you know, the cities are all going to be like this if God wills it? Because the Muslims vote as a block. And you've got Europe on average is about 8% Muslim now in many of the areas. In the cities, 20, 30, 40%. It's the dominant group now in the voting bloc. Why do we have Sadiq Khan in London? Why do we have Mondami in New York?
You're asking a lot of questions. You want me to answer?
No. I'm stating – no. The Muslims are the swing vote, and they know that with the Democrat Socialist to be able to dominate. And I can play you thousands of imams in Dearborn, Michigan, in Houston, Texas, and everywhere else in Plano, Texas, saying we're taking over. And everybody sees those videos, buddy. Mm-hmm. Just like when you said we're taking over, and now you're in the, oh, I'm a victim. Come
I didn't
on,
say
you're
that.
Being mean to
I didn't,
us.
I didn't say that.
You have been a victim of the neocons in Israel, okay? And that's wrong.
Yeah, and if Elon Musk, the globalist that you're allying with who's bringing in H-1Bs, the richest man of the world,
I like the fact
trillionaire.
That he's pro-free speech. I don't agree with everything that Elon Musk does.
You don't want free speech if you want me deported for using my free speech. Actually, you're against
listen,
it.
Listen, you go back
it
to
sounds
that.
Like you were demonizing Black Lives Matter. You kind of sound like a
and
woke
also
liberal.
Said that I want to
you kind of sound like a woke liberal like a with the woke mind virus if you want me deported for using my free speech.
Yeah, I responded that.
Yeah, because you're actually using the strongest form of censorship if now the richest man of the world is saying that I should be deported for free speech, especially when he's an African migrant. So if you actually want to protect it,
listen,
that is
what we're it. Saying is
if you ask me a question, why did I say this? Why you, no, no, you ask me a question, why did I say
Islam.
That?
Dude, we know your plan.
You ask me
We've
a question.
Your Quran, and I'm telling you, you're going to lose. Okay?
You ask me a question. No one here. This is not a. This is the psyop. This is what they plan to do: is pin the Christians and Muslims against each other so that they can repeat their endless wars. It worked before. Don't let it work again, Alex, if you're opposing the Iran war.
I'm not supporting Israel and going to war for them.
No, you are supporting Israel. You are. You are supporting Israel.
I'm not in bed with you and the Democrat Socialist and Black Lives Matter that you supported and all the stuff that went
on
in this country.
You're the woke liberal trying to get me censored. If you
say, no, I've seen you say, if we were going to be violent.
I saw you say that they're crisis actors in Sandy Hook, and look what happened. If you want to do ad hom, so let's stay on point.
Oh, my God, Sandy Hook. Oh, God, you got me.
Let's stay on point. I went home from school that day, actually. actually, because you're talking about my childhood. You said, why did I say
I hurt you as a little baby?
You said, why did I say, if God wills
it? Am I a bad man? Hurt you?
Okay, Alex.
Did I do something to your poopy?
Well, no, you got the trillionaire to try to put a target in my head. So, yeah, well done.
Oh, my well goodness. Done. Well you're done. You're just showing your teeth.
Well done.
Throat slitting. And
well, then don't cry about
over.
White genocide. Yeah, don't cry about.
Oh, I'm your friend. Hey, the Quran isn't a battle manual to take over. Come on. There's no imam saying that.
I don't want
to
hear you cry about your demographic replacement. Oh, no. America's getting destroyed. Oh, no. The globalists are taking over. Oh, no. America's getting replaced.
It's our world right to dominate the planet. No, no.
Oh, no. The West is getting taken over. Oh, no. There's immigrants here. Oh, no. Immigrants are here from the wars that I caused.
Over Spain for 700 years.
Immigrants come in from the wars
the
I caused.
In Hollywood allied with you. Oh, the Crusades has attacked the poor little Muslims.
I didn't,
for
say,
no
I
reason.
Didn't say any of
they
that.
Started
you're arguing with your own
Hollywood.
Head, Alex. You're going
Hollywood.
Delusional.
I said Hollywood does that. I just said Hollywood does that. I didn't say
you said
Schmico,
Chi-Coms control
Schmico.
Hollywood. Didn't you say the Chi-Coms control Hollywood and not Jewish supremacists?
No, what I said in the full clip was I read a Wall Street Journal article about how China, was it like the 10 biggest Hollywood production companies had bought a controlling interest in six and China admits they're funding a lot of the anti-Western, anti-white propaganda. China is heavily allied with Hollywood and they're anti-American.
China's allied with Hollywood. This is why the demographics
China's
are changing.
China's not involved in the university.
This
the
is why.
Society.
This is why the West
China's
is getting replaced.
China's not involved in Hollywood. China doesn't control and own big parts of Hollywood. Yeah. Alex Jones is
the Chinese.
China doesn't. Are you kidding me?
The Chinese. I mean, this is why the West is changing, because when you spread these lies that the Chinese control Hollywood, people get confused and you mix the truth with
hey,
lies.
Schmico.
You say some
hey,
things that are true and say
Schmico,
10 lies.
That's an old white supremacist attack on me that I cover China. I mean, look at brain dead Mitch McConnell and his wife flees to China, who's a known Chi-Com agent. And you look at Fang Fang and Swallowswell and all the Chinese spies.
You're going on tangents again.
Are you saying China, geopolitically, is not our main military adversary? It is not the main spy force.
I didn't say that. I said China does not predominantly control Hollywood. I didn't say anything
I'm going to say this very slowly to you.
You said two
Wall,
separate
I'm going to say this very slowly. Wall Street Journal, like 15 years ago, did an article about how China bought a controlling interest of six of the 10 top Hollywood production companies. I didn't say they were the producers. I didn't say that they were the directors. That's mainly Jews. And I said that in the full
you.
Show.
So
just
say
like
that.
I did an hour on atrazine
so
with
that.
Scientific studies and clips, and then said, I don't want them putting chemicals in the water turn the frickin' frogs gay. The media only showed that 10-second clip,
okay.
Not me showing all the studies. And, of course, I was proven right.
Yeah, kind of like you when you flip up everything and try to make me sound.
Are you saying China does not have a controlling interest? I don't know what it is now in a lot of U.S. media.
Of course, but it's predominantly Jewish supremacists. And you're messing up the conversation by redirecting it towards
Chinese. I constantly
Chinese.
Talk about the anti-Western, anti-white, anti-Christian.
If you want to
Hollywood.
Protect this country, then talk about the main issue, Alex. Don't just get it twisted with a bunch
oh,
of nonsense.
Oh, you're doing like Dan Bilzerian did, saying Nick Fuentes doesn't go on Piers Morgan and big shows talk about Israel when he does. That's just not true. That's this thing of I talk more about Israel than you do. No, I just talk about all the major power blocks in the world. That's what I do.
And you're confusing
China,
people when you say
China,
globalist Chi-Coms.
Anybody watching
like,
can type in Chinese interest in Hollywood production companies, China funding anti-American stuff, China taking over U.S. Universities via the Confucius Institutes. That's a whole other subject. China putting kill switches
is.
In U.S. computers.
It's a whole other subject. Let's stick to the main subject that's destroying
no,
our country.
No, you created a straw man that I said China controls Hollywood.
I didn't say strongman. I said that you're confusing
Hollywood.
The conversation. You're just making people focus on things that are not extremely important.
Wow. That,
important
I hope everybody watching can see through what just happened. Literally, Schmico brought that up. Schmico wanted to make this a talking point to try to, you know, get Alex on the back foot as if he was covering up for the Jews. Alex explains to him exactly what happened. He's like, well, let's not get distracted. Well, let's not go off on that tangent. You brought it up, dumbass. You just didn't know what the hell you were talking about. And of course, if you're watching our feed, you're seeing every article being brought up in real time because Alex is exactly right with what he's talking about. And this is obvious. And if you understood anything about global economics, you would understand that China is a massive market that Hollywood has been trying to you know, get profit out of for a long time. And so they make changes to their movies to comport with Chinese sensibilities. It's why they take the black people off the posters when they put them up in China, because Chinese people don't want to see movies that star black people. And they're willing to make that adjustment for them because they just hate the West. They hate America. They're happy to be racist for China because China has a control system called the social credit score that allows them to never face a threat from their population. So they see the effectiveness of the Chinese control grid. They want to bring it here, and they want to access to their massive billion person population as China develops and gets better technology and gets better access to the entertainment that America offers. American companies are changing their movies, changing their scripts, changing their posters to comport with the Chinese audience. Everybody knows this. It's obvious. Who's doing that? You could say it's the Jews doing that. Sure. You could also point out that China keeps millions of Muslim people in concentration camps. They're called the Uyghurs, and they're facing a genocide right now. So why is Sneeko defending China? So you're in favor of them destroying Muslims? Well, if you're not, you know, against China, then you must be in favor of them destroying Muslims. Should we just do this with, you know, every two power blocks? If you oppose China, then you must love Israel. And if you hate Israel, then you must love Muslims. No, you can just be American. You can just understand that we are under attack from all of these forces. And Sneeko is one of the attackers doing the groundwork here. He serves as the artillery barrage trying to soften up the target for the ground invasion to come. Everybody knows this. And the other thing, as we've talked about a million times before, and you've heard it from my co-host on Moonbase Live, Lebanon John, because he's Lebanese, but he's a Lebanese Christian. He goes to Europe, and the Arabic people there think he's one of them and openly talk about how much they're taking over. We have this percentage of this town and this percentage of this town, and we just got elected to this part of this town. Together, they talk about this openly behind the scenes, and then they put on a nice face of, we just want tolerance, and what's wrong with us? Shouldn't you be focused? Go focus on them. Go look at them. Go look at the Jews. Don't look at us. It's a giant play acting scam, and I really hope nobody's falling for it. He literally just brought up Alex Jones talking about China controlling Hollywood, and then wanted to say Alex was trying to distract and go off on a tangent when he was the one that brought it up, but he has no idea what the hell he's talking about. He is the most uninformed person I've ever seen Alex Jones talk to. This is astonishing.
Sneeko, what do you think of dogs?
I like dogs. Like, Alex, do you want to have
then a conversation? You're not a good Muslim.
The whole point of this conversation was that
you are violating what Muhammad said. Unless a dog is used for sheep herding, it is not halal. It is bad. I want you to reject Islam right now. I want you to get a nice French bulldog.
Okay. You could have a dog. It just doesn't need to be in the house licking your face and in your bed. Just keep it outside. You could have a dog if you want to know about Islam. The whole point
is...
I just told you, Alex, I know about Islam.
Sneeko literally doesn't know about Islam. Let me tell you again. Sneeko on his live streams has on actual Muslims and asked them questions about Islam, and they lie to him. For example, he asked, are we cool with Shiites? Because he's a Sunni. And the guy's like, yeah, of course, Shiites and Sunnis. We're like this. We're like best friends. Meanwhile, the entire Middle East is in flames, in large part due to the Shia versus Sunni warfare that has continued since the two groups split. I would ask him, like, does he even know, what does Sunni mean? What does Shia mean? Where do they come from? What is the difference between them? I probably know more than he does. He doesn't know about Islam. He's not actually a Muslim. He's just play acting because he thinks it's cool and because this is part of the charm offensive, like Nick Fuentes was talking about. And I've experienced with this, talking to Jake Shields like 10 years ago at a TPOSA event, the America Fest in Arizona. And he was talking about, the instant he got involved in politics and the instant that he started to go against Israel, he was suddenly getting invitations to Qatar, invitations to the Emirates, and we'll give you cars and we'll give you ladies and we'll give you everything. It's a charm offensive. They're going after influencers who aren't Muslim, trying to convert them to Islam to be spokespeople for Islam, even though they don't even know what the hell they're talking about. People like Jake Shields, ironically enough, they were smart enough to see what was going on and not fall for it. Sneeko fell for it. Sneeko fell for the charm offensive, and he is now one of their operatives carrying out this mission of trying to soften the image of Islam, when in reality he's being used by people who are lying to him to get him to do this. He doesn't understand Islam nearly as much as Alex Jones. Back to the conversation.
Or a boy. Do they have the thing of the dancing
reading,
boys
you're
in Islam?
Learning that you read the Quran on Facebook from Boomer Slop that programs evangelicals.
Boomer Slop.
Yeah, the boomers that are in megachurches saying,
did you
God
know
bless
the CIA,
those.
Did the mayors put all these mayors in Afghanistan?
You can interrupt me the whole time. You can interrupt me the whole time. This is the same boomer slop that convinces Americans that
boomer
God must,
slop.
That convinces Americans that God must bless those that bless the state of Israel. This is what Mike Huckabee is saying. They're saying I'm a mere boy.
I don't believe that. That's not
Cruz,
the Bible. It's
Ted Cruz is posting about the IDF on July 4th. Clearly, the influence is coming
from
one place.
So what does that have to do with anything?
Said in Huckabee that we owe Israel our existence, and all that's not true. I've covered it all.
Okay, and the American government, people like Randy Fine are saying ban Islam. Laura Loomer Jigsaw, this lady is saying ban Islam. Why are
I heard you and Laura Loomer. I heard you and Laura Loomer might be dating soon.
Okay, Alex is officially bored with the debate. Person. Alex is officially bored of dunking on Sneeko, and he's moving on to the troll section of the debate. This it's going to get better.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Look, I don't know if Laura Loomer. That has aura. That has aura. Become Muslim. Abdul Alex Jones. Inshallah, hey, Alex Jones is Muslim.
Will you wear the burqa again? I saw you in that latest video where you're like wearing it like a woman.
It's a scarf. It's a scarf. It's wearing it like a woman. It's not a hijab. Also, how do nuns dress? You're like insulting the hijab. Trump is posting kindergarten
girls. Oh my God. Okay, Sneeko literally only knows the most basic, like, I mean, this is like when you're arguing with an atheist and they're like, then why does God let bad things happen? It's like, are you a kindergartner? Do you really not understand the difference between a nun who has dedicated her entire life to a religion, who wears a habit as a symbol of her disconnection from the earthly world, as being a lifelong, like she's married to the church. It's a symbol of her devotion. It's not something that you force every single girl to put on the instant her boobs pop out because she doesn't want to get raped by the neighbor. Like, this is the most elementary level, Islam apologism I've ever heard. You don't like the hijab? What about habits? It's like, okay, what the hell are you talking about? I wear a wristwatch, but I don't want to have my hands handcuffed behind the back. Do you understand the difference? Well, they're both things around your wrist. What's the problem with one or the other? Well, one's a symbol of devotion, a choice somebody makes to dedicate their lives to a church and an outward, show of that. And the other is oppressing women because your men can't be trusted to keep their dick in their pants. Is this too complicated for you, Sneeko? Back to the dumbass.
Tell the white liberal blue-haired women, tell them you're beneath me, and they're just going to have orgasms, just go, oh, God.
Like, wear white. Like, look, you have no solution to it. I mean, you're afraid of the hijab so much, but your birth rate's declining. Feminism's everywhere. There's more atheists than Christians in America.
Don't worry. I got four children, I think I'm going to have probably four more, so don't worry.
That's great. Most of them don't, because liberalism is rampant, because you guys are so afraid of Islam.
Yeah, well, I live by what I say. In fact, that's it. I'm having at least 10 more. But I admire Elon having 100 kids.
The majority of Western people that follow you and the majority of the people that are afraid of Islam, they don't. Conservative values are decaying everywhere.
Yeah, because they're too busy watching football and living in their own world. Please,
let me just interrupt for just 1 minute. This is from Mediaite published today. The headline is Jewish Americans favor Zohran Mamdani more than Bibi Netanyahu by a whopping 32 points. So sorry. I just wanted to interrupt to lay out the real alliance behind the scenes here. Jewish Americans favoring Zohran Mamdani. Of course, do we need to play the footage that we played earlier this week of the Jewish activists straight from Israel being given government funds to go to Greece and welcome Muslims to that island? I mean, this is a tag team operation. Sneeko is too dumb to understand this. Back to the dummy.
No, the answer is the great part is liberal leftists aren't having kids, so they're extincting themselves, no matter what color they are. And so we're speaking out, we're talking about it, we're pushing that. But to say that the West is committing suicide because of decadence, that's a normal part of the cycle. We're coming out of that cycle in the fourth turning. Hard times make strong men make good times make weak men.
So you want to bring conservative values back, correct?
What I want to do is bring the life force back and realize where we are in the competing systems and expose the different competing systems so the general public can make a choice through free will what system they want to join.
Free will is why OnlyFans is rampant. Free will is why feminism is here. Free will is why the body count for the average 20-year-old girl is equivalent to her age.
Are you against free will?
Well, look, if you want to have some sort of conservative law, if you want to have a birth rate problem, don't cry about the birth rate and then say Sharia law is horrible.
I'm not talking about law. I'm talking about free will in general, being able to have your own freedom.
Of course I want free will.
Freedom, no. Freedom to be educated, informed, and touched by God, by the Holy Spirit, by Jesus Christ, to then be a light and salt in the world. To say free will creates evil, well, that's because free will, you can choose good or evil.
No, I'm saying liberalism creates evil.
Free will is the great gift God gave us, part of consciousness.
Yeah, I'm not against free will, Alex. You're not understanding what I'm saying. Liberalism is why the birth rate's declining. And then people like you love to have a boogeyman and say Muslims are taking over, even though they're 1.3% of the population. This is not.
You're 2 billion people. You're expanding. You're having more kids than anybody.
Yeah.
And the thing is,
so maybe you should take
over.
Oh,
you
great
say
point.
You're taking over.
Great point.
Listen, just because we're just because we're sick and a parasite is coming in, a Stone Age monotheistic religion that enslaves women, and that I'm supposed to
enslaves
then embrace
women.
You. I'm supposed to embrace you as the answer.
Women
no.
in America are slaves to Jewish supremacy, telling them to open up an OnlyFans. This is what is the dominating
again,
ideology.
Again, just a totally false dichotomy. This is, once again, the false dichotomy, where they present a woman in a full body hijab, a trash bag that she can barely see through, versus a woman on OnlyFans. Here's an idea. How about for like 2,000 years of our history, Christianity actually maintained a system of morals in which women could go out and enjoy themselves and, dress nicely and not be, ridiculous whores like has happened in the last, a couple of decades. But this is another false dichotomy. There's the whorish, completely liberal OnlyFans, side of things. Then there's the Muslim, women are worthless and you keep them locked in the house or, covered head to toe. And then there's the middle, which is Americana, which is America, which is women in bikinis, but not being raped for it, right? It's actually not that complicated. It's called Americana. Yes, we're losing it because we're being forced into this false dichotomy that says you either are a terrible, tyrant, or you have absolutely no morals whatsoever. No, we have morals. Those have been degraded over time, but going over to Islam is clearly not an answer. And yes, Muslim people are, breeding to a massive amount, but that's because our countries have given them welfare and are, funding their, they go and they get like, $50,000 a year for every kid they have and a new house for every wife they bring over. Obviously, they're outbreeding us. This is a plot from the globalists, who are of every race, color, and creed, but are working together. And Sneeko, once again, is playing the role of the Muslim invader problem causer, providing and reinforcing the false dichotomy that's designed to force people either into total subjugation, abject domination by Islam, or totally freewheeling, no laws, no control, no nothing. It's a false dichotomy that Sneeko himself is reinforcing with every minute. Back to the video.
Are you
so, hold on a minute. Hold on. You endorse multi-generational first cousin marriage.
I just answered your question like three times. I support Islam. Islam is good. We have a solution.
So is it good that Muhammad married the 9-year-old?
Is it good that Rebecca was married to Isaac at the age of 3? This is in the Old Testament. Is it good that you could go pay 50 shekels for your rape slave in the Old Testament because you believe that?
Is it
okay that you could rape a woman and then she become your wife? This is in the Old Testament.
Is it good that Moyles, perform circumcision with their teeth? No.
Okay. But all this is also part of Christianity that you're acting like there's all
these
differences.
No, it's not a part of Christianity. It's obviously not a part of Christianity. The New Testament basically supersedes all of those things. Again, Sneeko has no idea what he's talking about. He's a very dumb person. Alex Jones is very patiently educating him. Luckily, Sneeko's entire chat seems to recognize that Alex Jones is absolutely dominating him in every possible regard. We'll return to this on the other side. We'll see how long this goes. We'll see how long Sneeko can take it before he has to retreat to his hug box.
Alex Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most, to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best, and he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, If you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900 and let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price, price of the metal in the ground. Manufacturers, miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground. They dig their tunnels. They drive it to the refinery. They melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3 to 5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is. Type in what's wholesale gold and silver. And then you get it from them with a little processing fee. And then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation email. You call 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. Second hour is on. I regret to inform you, if you weren't watching the Sneeko stream, you just missed a beautiful, full-fledged a cappella version of the Alex Jones We Love Our Somali song, courtesy of Alex Jones. I told you, he defeated Sneeko in about the first 30 minutes, and he's just been having fun ever since. And again, the chat is just like, just nothing. But Alex Jones fans saying body him, you know, Sneeko L, Alex W, it's embarrassing for old Sneeko, but we go back and we'll keep watching this as long as Sneeko feels like being humiliated on his own stream, wearing his funeral tie. He doesn't even know how to wear a suit. He's wearing a funeral suit. He's wearing an all black suit with a black tie, like he's going to his own funeral. It is, in a way, it is his own funeral. Back to Alex and Sneeko.
I'm on not drinking. That's what I'm on right now.
You're not cloned, right? You got to beat the cloning allegations.
And I got this too, Topo Chico.
Oh, sparkling water. Yeah, you played that clip of your friend Andrew Tate saying that I tried to have sex with him 4 years ago, and then he continued to do streams with me for 4 years. What was that all about?
Well, you did say that you thought you were gay when you were 14.
You said that you thought Blair White was attractive and that God works in mysterious ways and that your genetics thought that was a real woman. I was saying that this is from
you
a comedy
like
podcast clip from when I was 14 years old.
That was on my main show.
You're clipping up from when I was 14. You're the one saying you were bricked up from Blair White from this man. If you want to
consider. I've never. I was explaining that why are the transgenders saying it's a woman when they dress like big fat demon clowns to take over the thing of women?
Your phone background was Blair White in a bikini. This is a transgender man.
Well, I'd never been with her in a bikini. She was on the show, and I said, I understand there's some men that feel like they're women, and I know there's chemicals that bend genders.
Oh, you empathize. That sounds kind of woke of you. That sounds a little bit leftist.
That's why I had Blair White on like 12 years ago when he first transitioned, and I said I thought it was destructive, but I don't hate those people individually.
Oh, Blair White, you champion LGBT. That's good.
Blair White.
You're an LGBT champion.
I'm not going to throw Blair White off a building. I'm not Islamic. The point is that you're not letting me talk. You're like, oh God, Blair White, we got this secret thing.
No, it's good. You support trans people.
No, what the point of having Blair White on is Blair White says, keep away from the kids. Don't have it in schools. I've been at a comedy club before with Joe Rogan when Blair White, you know, uses the men's bathroom. And my issue is that the chemicals in the first month of the embryo forming, atrazine, doesn't just bend frogs or birds or other things, but mammals, it actually changes cells in the brains. So people literally become hermaphroditic in their brain structure and in their bone structure. So they're not really female, but it bends them that direction. I've said give them testosterone to bend them back and growth hormone. Like when you have a midget, give them growth hormone. Or if they have acromegaly, you can block that or do a surgery in the pituitary. So I was saying that it really is people are being born like this because they're being bent by the chemicals that are in all the studies. The atrazine alone at allowable levels bends our genders. And I was saying that you're not an ugly, gross, gross, horrible goblin man who's actually attacking women's spaces or trying to be in women's sports, and that I don't single out people like you that really think they're a woman. I don't think you're a bad person, because I do not want to throw homosexuals or trans people off of buildings. I do not believe they should be killed under Islam. And so you're right. But you act like you found some big
champion
thing.
The LGBT. I mean, imagine if you dedicated 1% of that energy about transgenders towards getting rid of Jewish supremacy in America. Man, we would be so much further.
Man, listen, I'm against men and women's sports. I'm against recruiting kids in schools. I fight that. I spent a lot of time on that because the system was pushing it. And then I spent a lot of time on Islam, a lot of time on Israel, a lot of time on China, a lot of time on people being lazy, people not being hardworking. I mean, I cover it all, dude. I'm on the air 4 hours a day. So I don't know what you're talking about. You jump around here. I've always said I don't hate homosexuals. I don't hate trans people. Okay, I don't sit there and judge them for that. Okay, that's the media goes, Alex is a right-winger, homophobe, blah, 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 blah. I am a populist, conservative Christian, but I don't hate people. Listen, here's my deal. It's just as big a sin that I lust after women. It's just as big a sin that in my life I've been very promiscuous. I've done sins way bigger than gender bending. A lot of people didn't have a choice. When I was younger, the left always goes, God, he admitted this. He's a hypocrite. He's against abortion now. It's like saying I committed a murder and then I went to jail for it, hypothetically, and now I'm against murder. When I was younger, I believe it was a blob of tissue, and I paid for probably 6-7 abortions I know of by the time I was
all right,
like
we're going to pick this up on the other side. We'll be right back.
Introducing the AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter Showerhead. You're not just drinking tap water, you're showering in it, breathing the steam, and soaking your skin in it every day. When you take a hot shower, that hot water opens your pores and creates steam. That means chlorine, lead, and many other contaminants in your tap water can hit your skin, your hair, and the air you breathe inside your own bathroom. And unlike most shower filters on the market, this has independent third-party testing. SGS testing showed a 95%+ lead reduction using the system, over 99% chlorine removal, and many other chemicals. The system installs directly onto a standard shower head. It literally just takes seconds. No plumber, no tools, no modification to your plumbing. Regularly $139. Today you can get it for just $97.99. That's 30% off. VIP members of GallagherStore.com get it for as low as $69.99. That is beyond a steal. Secure yours now while supplies last at GallagherStore.com.
Welcome back, folks. We've entered into a segment of the CECO Alex Jones debate where CECO's very confused at Alex Jones being a genuine, loving, and thoughtful and honest person. He keeps trying to take the things that Alex Jones is talking about himself and trying to twist it as if it's some sort of bad thing, when really Alex is just being, you know, totally honest about his, you know, long and storied existence in the media and his development in coming to the stances he has now. And CECO is petulantly, like a child, trying to make it sound bad. He doesn't even know what he's doing anymore. He doesn't know what he's thinking. And again, he brought up early on that, like, Muslims believe in Jesus Christ. I mean, that's, first of all, hilarious, because Jesus Christ said in no uncertain words that he is the Son of God. And so how you can believe in Jesus but disregard his core message doesn't make any sense. They've got all these other stupid beliefs about Jesus, but they do believe that Jesus is going to come back at the end of time and judge the living and the dead. But if you ask a Muslim who is the only being on the universe that can accurately judge the living and the dead, they will acknowledge that Allah himself is the only one who can do that. So how Jesus Christ could judge living in the dead if he's not God doesn't make any sense. This is the there's a term for this. It's like the Muslim conundrum or something. I can't remember what it is, but essentially in Islam it says all of the texts of the scriptures of Christians and Jews is totally valid and from God, and you know, the perfect thoughts of Allah, you know, in text. But if that's true, then you have to believe things that are contrary to what the Quran says. So it's impossible for both of these things to be true. If the Quran is absolutely true, then it's absolutely true what it says about the Jewish and Christian beliefs being absolutely true, which is contradictory and incompatible. So this doesn't even make any sense. But again, he wants to try to appeal to Christians by pointing out that Muslims. What I want to ask is, how is Islam not a branch of Judaism? To me, Islam is a branch of Judaism. Full stop. I mean, Jews constantly had prophets coming and visiting them. Why did that stop with Jesus? well, why did that stop if Jesus wasn't the Son of God, if that wasn't the Messiah and the fulfillment of the covenant, then why did the prophets stop coming? And if they didn't stop coming, then why is Muhammad not just as valid as Joshua or, you know, any other prophet from the Old Testament? So that's what I would want to ask Nico is, can you actually delineate what makes Islam and Judaism different religions? They seem to me like really one and the same. And if you go back into the history, you can see that Muhammad actually tried to start up a cult in, I think it was, I always get them mixed up, but he was wherever the Hajj is now, and he couldn't really get anything going. So then he went to Medina, which was a Jewish town, and a bunch of Jewish elders helped him to write the Quran, which is funny because right now you have a lot of Norse pagans and, you know, pagan people who like to portray Christianity as some sort of long-term Jewish trick to conquer the world, when in reality every one of their criticisms actually does apply directly to Muhammad, but not to Christianity whatsoever. But I'm sorry, back to Sneeko and Alex.
Trying to be mean to him, wasn't trying to put him down. He looked higher than a kite. And so that's what I said.
Okay. Let's leave on this.
God is talking about the yay, how Hitler. I don't sycophantically. Yay's a cult of a celebrity. None of it. I just tell it like it is. AlexJonesLive.com, Real Alex Jones on X. And I look forward to talking to you tomorrow.
Wait. I'm not going to come on unless you say that I should not be deported for exercising my free speech rights. Come on. That's an American value right there. I'm a real patriot for exercising my First Amendment and my freedom of religion.
Well, under Sharia law, it bans most of our speech and creates a monotheistic tyranny. And so
I want to practice American values. I believe in the Constitution.
I think anybody trying to. Well, I already told you that it was rhetorical, just like when I said Piers Morgan. And I think if you don't like how America is, you want to impose, I think you should self-deport to one of these Muslim dreamlands. Why? Okay, so that's what I'm saying.
Self-deport. Again, too, maybe talk a little bit about how Elon Musk is on the Epstein files. Remember when he said that Trump was not releasing the Epstein files?
Well, let's have that. Listen to me. I literally have a bunch of work to do.
Okay, go ahead. You had all your story times about Blair White. I'm going to hear and say Elon Musk said that Trump was not releasing the Epstein files because he was implicated in them. Then he shows up with a black eye doing the Illuminati black eye ritual. And then he goes back on the Trump team. That's weird. And now he's amplifying you trying to deport me. That's anti-American.
Did you know? Okay. Let me just answer that. If you'll say I got off here to not answer that. About 6 months ago, I'm in a hotel room. It's dark. You forget where you're at sometimes. I wake up and take a piss. And I like walk into a wall and cut my nose and like kind of bruise my eye. And then when I get back to Austin days later, I never put makeup on for the show except this. I went, oh my God, they'll say I'm an Illuminati ritual. My eye is black and my nose is cut. They'll take people get black eyes.
That's not the important part of what I said. It's
now,
the Epstein
now, now, hold
part.
On. Let me, I was just addressing the last thing you said. Oh God, I'm dodging again. We can spend an hour on this tomorrow and I'm not. Elon Musk apologist, so that position you put me in is not who I am.
Kind of sounds like it.
Thing is this. He comes out and says, Trump is in the Epstein files back in June or whatever, or before
25.
June.
June 2025, yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't say this is terrible. Then Trump goes from saying release it to a cover-up. I've exposed that. He was known Mossad. I was one of the first ever exposed.
Yeah, Elon Musk was in there.
And then Elon is not on there. Elon is not on there.
He was all over the emails. He was trying to go and have the craziest party. He wanted to let loose.
You're not letting me finish, man. You asked a question.
But you're saying things that are incorrect. He was emailing Epstein saying he wanted to go to the craziest party. He wanted to let loose. He's been really stressed.
I haven't even gotten to this yet.
He's telling a story about the hotel room and a frog before you could just, you got a little.
No, you brought up that crazy schizophrenic thing that anytime somebody has a black eye, it's an Illuminati ritual.
Okay, that's the least important part of what I'm saying.
I know, you said it, not me, buddy. Let me finish.
Go ahead.
And then don't do another question at the end to keep me on here. That's another dirty trick. We can do 2 hours tomorrow if you want. You can say whatever you want.
But let's stay on topic because you went to a million things. Let's have specific topics.
We'll start with Epstein tomorrow. How's that sound?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I am in the Epstein files. Did you know that?
You were mentioned, but you weren't communicating with Epstein.
No, exactly. Well, I wasn't. I haven't got to my point yet. I wasn't defending Elon there. I was being attacked for attacking Epstein.
Yeah.
And I'm in the WikiLeaks with the Clintons and the globalists attacking me.
I know.
And I'm in all the secret FBI and Crossfire Hurricane and Arctic Frost and Obama put him under national security surveillance as a top threat because I'm not a Fed and I don't work for Israel and I don't get money from Qatar or anybody else. I am 1776. I'm not even MAGA. I'm 1776 Americana. Now, obviously, Elon was kicked out of the White House. Elon is not on that big AI board that Trump is on. Elon did get his head of NASA later. He got really upset about Doge not making the real cuts, getting run out. And he said, yeah, you're on the list and you're going to cover it up, which Trump then did. There is Elon talking on there because Epstein was the head of the Trilateral Commission. I didn't even know that until that stuff came out. I knew he was powerful because David Rockefeller brought him in 1990 when he was 30. And he would stand in for David Rockefeller, the founder and creator of one of the most powerful groups. So Epstein wasn't just a super gopher. He was the main Rothschild representative, their ambassador to the world. And so everybody was talking to him. Everybody was dealing with him. And so I don't give Steve Bannon a pass. I don't give Elon a pass. I don't give any of them a pass, except with those guys, it's about political power, money, talking to the head of the Trilateral Commission. With Trump, he's actively blocking 3+ million more files coming out. So that is terrible. Epstein was Mossad. All that's bad. And I think Elon should respond to all of that. But at least he got pissed up front and said that. But him talking about, you know, going to globalist parties or being around these elites and making money.
The craziest
nobody's
parties.
Ever said Elon Musk raped anybody. Nobody's ever said Elon Musk is underage girls. Nobody's ever said any of that stuff.
I'm just saying, I think
try to act like he's. I'm not his apologist. I've just never seen anything there. But with Bill Gates, it's how do we get rid of the poor people? There's all this stuff about sex slaves being delivered to the hotel and eating people.
Right.
And we need to know those excise names. And I've been all over Trump about it. And I've broken with Trump over that. So.
And it's strange. Let me respond. It's strange that somebody who was saying Elon said he wanted to go to the craziest parties on the Epstein Island. He wanted to let loose and just go wild. Now he's all up in arms about Pakistani grooming gangs. I find that strange. That the guy who's saying Trump's covering up for the Epstein files
is now pushing the slop that you're eating up. Exterminating the whites. I mean, I think he legitimately is for the West. He's pro-human.
No, he's not. He's bringing in H-1B visas. He's saying that white men are dumb and that he wants more Indian H-1B visas.
I think that was Vivek Ramaswamy.
No. I have the tweet right here. Elon Musk says white men are dumb. That's why he doesn't hire them to work for X. Look at his SpaceX team. It's all Indian. He's not pro-West.
He said white men are dumb. That's
yes.
A quote.
You want to see?
Wow.
Can I share my screen? You want to see before you leave?
Yeah, I don't see that. I don't agree with that.
Okay, I'll show you right here. I came with the receipts. Can you see your name?
I'll be honest
with
you.
So, again, this is like kind of completely ridiculous. I thought the question was about Islam like taking over America. Now we're talking about, you know, we're debating whether Elon Musk was in the Epstein files. Like, what does this have to do with anything? This has absolutely nothing to do with anything. But here you go. And Elon says, we're just dumb.
We're just dumb.
It's a joke. He didn't say white men are dumb. He said, oh, we're dumb.
Oh, it's a joke when it's Elon Musk. But when I'm at a World Cup game, I'm declaring jihad on America. I'm trying to conquer. I'm the caliphate.
Well, I'll give you your emotional. Okay, fine. You shouldn't be deported. Listen, my point is Vivek Ramaswamy wrote a big thing about lazy Americans. And certainly statistically, there's some of that going on for any multigenerational, you know, group that's had it too good too long. That's a well-known thing. I mean, people that are middle class or wealthy, they get decadent. But in general, it's an overstatement. It was kind of nasty. But no. Him responding and going, oh, yeah, apparently we're just dumb. I don't take it as that. But I'm not an apologist for him. AlexJonesLive.com. AlexJonesLive.com is the new website with all the feeds and everything else. And Real Alex Jones on X. Sneeko. I'm still banned on YouTube. I'm still banned on most places. I'm at rumble.com/Alex Jones Show Live. I've got the whole system after me. I had federal judges fine and state judges.
I was banned everywhere too, Alex, but I was one of the few that was reinstated. I got banned. I remember you made a channel, but YouTube reinstated. You want to know why? Because I said the Trump election was rigged in 2020. I was against the COVID vaccine. You're trying to call me a BLM wokey. I said the vaccine was going to cause myocarditis, and YouTube gave me a strike, and then they apologized.
Okay, well, we can have a discussion. We can have a discussion.
Yeah,
about
I mean,
that.
You don't seem to understand. I've been doing this. I've been sitting everywhere, Alex.
We're going to get violent and tear stuff up. Let's make sure it's political. I don't believe in offensive violence. Listen, I'll see you tomorrow. Sneaky.
Hey, come on, Alexis, say my name.
Alexis.
You call me sneaky. You call me sneaky. Let's say my name correct.
Snyko? Schnicklets? Snooper? Snycotic? Is it Sneeko?
Yeah, there you go.
Sneeko the Pinko Islamo.
And leave the Muslims alone, man. I mean, Trump's putting a target on these Somali kindergartners for wearing hijabs. Leave them alone, bro. I mean, did he not kill enough girls in Iran at that Manab school with the double-tap Tomahawk missiles? He needs to attack.
I was against the war. I mean,
yeah, he doesn't need to attack like these Somali.
I'm not Trump's apologist.
Like, I'm not, there was just
this, this is really so stupid. I mean, honestly, you have to be so low IQ to not be able to hold two ideas in your hand. It's bad that we go to war in the Middle East, but also it's bad when we get taken over by Muslims. This is just like impossible for Sneeko to understand. He just cannot handle the idea that you would be against blowing people up, but also not want to be subject to their religion. This is so complicated. I mean, this is really, I'm going to try to map it out for Sneeko here. I don't know if I can, if I can do this correctly, let's see. War equals bad. Islam equals bad. Oh my God. Does this make sense, Sneeko? Are you understanding that both of these ideas are possible at the same time? Is this something that you can wrap your mind around, Sneeko? Meditate on it. Take your time. Really, really think about whether or not the two things you're presenting are actually not able to exist at the same time, or whether you are just too stupid to hold two non-contradictory ideas in your head at the same time. We don't want to go to war with the Muslims. We also don't want the Muslims to take us over here. We don't like seeing elementary schools that were once 90% white in a matter of 5 years because of mass migration by a bunch of Somalis or wherever the hell they come from, who have a failing state back home, who in an act of desperation have to flee their hometown, their home city, their home country, come to here, go on welfare, start scamming us out of billions of dollars, replace all of our kids at the local elementary school. Then we have to hire them to be teachers because we don't speak their language and they're refusing to acclimate to American culture. Why would any of these things be acceptable to anybody, Sneeko? That's my question. Why would any country sit back and allow this hostile foreign element to make inroads into their country? 1% is obviously too much. If that's how many Muslims are here right now, it's obviously too much, and we can lower that number significantly through mass deportation, and Sneeko can go live in a Muslim country and have all of the benefits of that. But stop trying to push this on America. Stop acting like America defending ourselves against this hostile foreign encroachment is somehow offensive or contrary to also not wanting to be Israel's bitches overseas, going to war against people who we have absolutely no, you know, genuine conflict with. Iran is not sending all of their people to live here. Syria is, Somalia is, and yes, they're doing it with the help of Israel because, hey, I know this is just like too much for Sneeko to understand, but you can have two enemies. Yeah. And those enemies can also hate each other. It has no impact on how we feel about them. Israel is tearing America down, dragging us down. They are a albatross around our neck. They are a weight tied around our neck, dragging us to the bottom of the ocean. And the Muslims are seeing this as a chance, as a vulnerability that they can sneak in and take advantage of by blaming the Jews for everything and trying to offload their own baggage. This is, all right, we got to go back to this.
Take care, Sneeko. We'll see you.
Salam alaikum, Alex.
Live.com is where reality begins.
Salam alaikum, Alex.
Assalamu alaikum. Marry your cousin. It's so much fun.
You really have, like, and I'll see you tomorrow.
I just want to wear a nightgown. It's the style.
Yeah, kind of. What do you think Jesus wore? You keep doing this. How did Jesus dress?
No, I don't like that about
you. Said
Jesus.
I follow a foreign religion. Wait,
Jesus,
Alex, where's
Jesus
Christianity
wore a suit,
from?
Sneeko. He wore a three-piece button-down suit, and he wore it better than you did. I love how, I mean, really, can we go back to his, I mean, somebody get Roger Stone on the horn. Are you supposed to wear totally black suits if you're not going to a funeral? No. No, you are not supposed to. That is too, the lapels are too wide. He's wearing a black tie and a black suit. That is funeral attire. He is attending his own funeral here. And it's because it's the first time he's ever put on a suit. It's his big boy suit. Maybe he wore it once for his confirmation back when he was pretending to be a Catholic, but now he's pretending to be a Muslim. So he had to pull it out of the closet and put it on. It's you're very handsome, Sneeko, sneaky. All right, they're still going. Let's listen.
See you tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum.
Bye. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes. My God, he feels like he won that. It's funny how scared he is of being deported. That was my big takeaway. He really wanted out. He really like thinks Alex Jones has the power to get him deported, and he was very scared of being deported. What are you so scared of, Sneeko? What are you so scared of? Yeah, no, he literally doesn't understand it. I genuinely don't think he even understands how he's being used by Muslims. I think with low IQ people that are very, very concerned about their image, concerned about their appearance, Sneeko obviously is very fame hungry. These are vulnerabilities if you want to take advantage of somebody. Like it was somebody like Sneeko who has so much baggage in his background, the accusations of being gay, the cuckold accusations, which aren't even accusations. They're things that Sneeko himself has admitted to. These things are embarrassing. He doesn't want these to come up. He's got a lot of baggage. There's a lot of blackmail available there for you. That makes him extremely vulnerable to manipulation. But so does just being generally dumb and, open to, like when you're nice to Sneeko, if you like give him some stuff and you're like, God, you're so cool, man. You're so cool and popular and awesome. Then he's going to do whatever you say. Like this is all that's happening here. This is the totality of what's taking place in Sneeko's mind, is that when he pushes Islam, he sees that a bunch of Islamic people back him up and support him and provide a fan base. So that's what he's going with. He is basically just a complete slave to, his own desire, his own ego, his own need for fulfillment in others. You know, he's like a OnlyFans whore, but, he does it with Islam. So, it's just absolutely pathetic, and he just cannot help but fall for the false dichotomy that, again, it's the exact same thing in an inverted way that all of the boomers say, where if you are against Israel, if you're like, hey, I don't like that we provide the funding and the military cover to allow this psychotic little nation of psychopaths, psychotic little nation of murderers to, kill a bunch of children. I think that's bad. And what do you get from the boomers? Oh, so you just want Muslims to take us over? It's like, that's Sneeko. Sneeko's a boomer. He's just the other way around. Well, we don't like Islam, or we don't like Israel. The boomer says, so you must love Islam. Sneeko says, so you must love Islam. No, you're both idiots. You're both dumb. You're both falling for the false dichotomy. You're both making it incredibly difficult to be anti-Israel because nobody wants to be pro-Islam. Because if that's the dichotomy that you're pushing, you are pushing people that would otherwise be in favor of you away from you. Because they think, well, if I was anti-Israel, I'd be with these dumbass Muslims. I don't want to be that, so I guess I'll be in favor of Israel. They are the ones pushing this false dichotomy. It's beneficial to both the Jews and the Muslims. The only people it's not beneficial to is the people of America and the Christians that don't want to be party to this desert conflict with a bunch of extremist psychopaths in the Middle East. We are done with it. We don't want anything to do with it. But both the boomers and the Muslims both have exactly the same reaction. If you're against Israel, you must be on the side of Islam. And this is so exhausting. I've literally covered this ad nauseum ever since, Charlie Kirk was murdered and, Candace Owens was being smeared. And I just talked about it over and over again, this false dichotomy, the idea that and it's either way. If you oppose Israel, you must be a Muslim. If you oppose Israel, you must be leftist. Or if you don't want children being murdered in Palestine, you must want to AOC to be president. This is retarded. This is childish. This is a rhetorical trick that only works on low IQ people like Sneeko and the boomers. So Sneeko is boomer maxing, being totally incapable of understanding how one can oppose Israel and also not want to be taken over by Muslims. This is too hard for him to understand. This is beyond his ken. This is, it's complicated. We need somebody to teach him. Alex tried, but it didn't go very well. It didn't work. It didn't work because Sneeko doesn't actually listen. He's not actually hearing anything. This was the same thing that happened to me when I went on with Sneeko, where this was what he did. I didn't know he'd become this Muslim apologist, pusher guy. And so it was just like the same thing over and over. He kept just being like, yeah, but you, but like, it's okay, the Muslim, but like, Muslims are better than Jews, right? And I'm like, I guess, like, whatever, but I don't want Muslims to be in this country. And he could be like, yeah, yeah, no, I get that, but like, it's only 1%. It's like, okay, that's 1% too much. What do you want me to say? I don't want them here. I don't need them here. Like, it's fine. I got nothing against Muslims, but like, if you ask me, do I want more Muslims to come into the country? I'm just going to be like, yeah, no. Like, that's, it's pretty simple. But he's just like, he's not listening. He's not actually hearing that, like, no, I'm a white American Christian. I want America to be white and Christian for the most part. Doesn't mean I hate anybody. Just like I'm a Smith, I want the Smiths to do well. Doesn't mean I hate anybody with a different last name. Again, this is complicated. This is very sophisticated stuff. This is very complicated, nuanced takes I'm delivering here. I don't know. One day, maybe Sneeko will begin to understand that one can be against two things at the same time.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks, you've seen the deplatforming, you've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots, and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. Oh no, oh no, poor Sneeko. The image that defines our modern age. Hilarious. Yeah, I mean, it's just pathetic. It's funny the way they're trying, because we have Sneeko's feed up here, and he's going through Twitter, and people are clipping out stuff, and they're like, Sneeko forces Alex Jones to retract the statement saying he should be deported. It's like, you mean Sneeko just spent an hour and a half begging Alex Jones to say he didn't want him to be deported? It's like he forced him to do it. He said, but Alex, I shouldn't be deported, right? I mean, just say I shouldn't be deported. Will you please apologize for saying I should be deported? I think Sneeko should be deported. I think he should be deported. So, yeah, it's just, okay, whatever you want to try to spin as a victory, congratulations. You begged him to retract this thing saying you should be deported, and he felt bad for you. He felt bad for you. All right. We're going to move on now. But that was extremely entertaining. That was very fun. I enjoyed that quite a bit. We got a lot of stuff to move on to here. We got Sneeko's feet up, and I'm just watching it. Yeah, AlexJonesLive.com. All right. The war in Iran is basically back on. That's the news on that front. We got a bunch of stuff about H-1B visas to talk about. I think I'm going to open up the phone lines again in the third hour to get your comments on the Sneeko-Alex Jones debate. Was there anywhere you think Alex Jones fell short? Because I really can't think of one. And the thing is, anybody that falls for the Sandy Hook crap, that's a litmus test. If you bring up Sandy Hook when talking to Alex Jones, you have failed the litmus test. If you don't understand the way that Sandy Hook was used dishonestly to try to destroy Alex Jones because of a bunch of other stuff that has nothing to do with Sandy Hook, like how are you in the modern media landscape if you don't understand this? Like yesterday I saw somebody was attacking Alex, and they said Alex Jones has this audience that he didn't create. And it's like, Alex Jones literally created the idea of live stream. Like, what are you talking about? He started off on public access, and he became the number one English language broadcast worldwide multiple years in a row, entirely on his own talent and volition. Like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, people have this idea of Alex Jones, like he's just another streamer, or he is like a Fox News. Like, you could say that about anybody at Fox News. You could say it about me. I didn't build this audience. Alex Jones built this audience. But Alex Jones cobbled this audience out of nothing, from scratch. He built it up entirely on his own. And it's like, he never had corporate backing ever. He was never on Fox News. They would bring him on one time to try to humiliate him. He would humiliate them, and then he'd never be allowed back on, like The View or CNN or any of these other instances. So what are you talking? Like, what are they talking about? Who do they think Alex Jones is? They think he's controlled. He is the least controlled person in media, hands down. That includes Sneeko, who gets his talking points from people that are fooling him, that are tricking him, that know more than he, and are lying to him so that he can promote the Takiya that is beneficial to the group that he now thinks he's a part of. Alex Jones, and Alex is like, I got work to do. And Sneeko's like, oh yeah, sure. It's like, dude, you might be a weirdo streamer. You might be an in-real-life streamer that actually doesn't do anything. Do you understand that Alex Jones was just live downstairs with an entire crew while I'm upstairs with an entire crew? We've got like 15 people, all salaried, all working to get this broadcast out. We run an operation. We run a industry standard company that gets millions and millions and millions of views on a regular basis, that dominates headlines anytime Alex Jones does anything out of the ordinary or unexpected. You are all e-celebs who will be gone in a couple of years. Nobody will even know your name. You're a flash of light that will disappear. And 5 years from now, people will go, oh, Sneeko, I remember. I haven't heard about him. What is he doing these days? And nobody's going to know because who the hell are you? You're just some streamer guy. Alex Jones is like an American legend. He's been doing this for 30 years. And like they're rolling their eyes as he's going through. Like we were claimed to be terrorists, like domestic terrorists. We've had FBI probes updating every single month. Every month by law, they're required to justify their surveillance of previously InfoWars for 13 years. For 13 years, every single month, they had a meeting about how they were trying to infiltrate and surveil InfoWars because of how dangerous our information is to them. Sneeko is not dangerous to anybody. He's not a threat to anybody. He's not exposing anything. He is a useful idiot for Islamic invaders that are using him. And he probably believes what he's saying. He's probably like, oh no, yeah, like we're not taking over. We just want to be able to express our religion. He is a puppet. Somebody has their hand up his butt and are making him say things he doesn't even understand. Okay. So it's like the mere idea that Alex Jones would lower himself to your level to go on your show and you're going to try to condescend to him. You new Muslim convert that doesn't even know the difference between Shia and Sunni. And then everything he asks Alex about Islam, Alex just answers it immediately. He's like, Sharia, it's the law. It's like, actually, Sharia means the law. Alex is like, I know. That's what I just said. It's just like you're arguing with a very low IQ person. He thinks he's got him on these tricks. It's just pathetic. And it's a nice little reminder of, like what we have here, what we've achieved here, the ankle biting, the endless ankle biting on top of the suppression from on high. And then he wants to act like we're somehow controlled or in the pocket of the powerful. You are literally a useful idiot for trillionaire Islamic regimes overseas that see you like a dumbass American falling for their tricks and making it easier for them to carry out their actual plan. Again, this is not even like debatable. Like I just know this firsthand from seeing the imam say it, seeing, you know, hearing secondhand, I guess, from Lebanon John going to Europe, being like, yeah, they are very aware that they're taking over and they're doing it deliberately. It's like Jesus wore robes. It's like, okay. And that was 2000 years ago, buddy. What do you think? See, like once again, and this was the problem. This is what Jesus talked about endlessly. Like if you actually listen to what Jesus was saying, he was constantly going on and on about how people lost the meaning of the rituals because they thought the ritual was the whole thing. And it's like, no, the ritual is supposed to be an outward expression of your internal feeling, right? If you actually feel bad about what you did and you want forgiveness and you are contrite and, you know, feel in your heart guilty for what you've done and you're never going to do it again, then, you know, you sacrifice something as a symbol of that. But by Jesus's time, by the time it came around, it was, oh, I can sin all I want. As long as I kill this chicken on the right day, I'm free to go. Well, great. So it's like, okay, the ritual is not the thing that's important. It's actually the least important part. Kind of similar with, it's like, no, you got to wear the robe clothes. You got to wear the toga. It's like, that's not actually important. That's not actually a thing that matters. That's like an outward expression of something that, you know, should matter, but they've lost the plot. He literally thinks it's like, well, you should wear robes because they wore robes in the Jesus times. And it's like, that doesn't mean anything. What are you talking about? Islam does have a bunch of, like, you'll notice people from Iran never wear neckties, right? Because the necktie is supposed to be a symbol of Western imperialism and dominance or whatever. So they never wear neckties. Like they, you know, care a lot about this. When in reality, what they should be caring about is the underlying values that inform the things that you wear, the practices that you carry out. The hijab would be a great example. It's not a symbol. It should be theoretically, ostensibly, it should be a symbol of, prudishness. I don't know. I don't know what the word is I'm looking for. Should be a symbol that you yourself are, you know, dedicated to God and you, you know, want to reject all earthly desire. But that's not really how it's used, is it? It's like little girls being forced to put on a hijab. And like, I don't know if you've seen the videos. There are videos all over the place. Little girls, you know, when they turn 11 or whatever, and it's like, we're putting on her first hijab. And she's like, her tears in her eyes. She's like, I have to wear this forever. And they're like, yep, men are going to be attracted to you now. So you've got to cover yourself up. And that's absolutely why it is. And you can hear this in debates. In fact, I saw a clip from Richard Spencer. And this is another thing, like, people who reject Christianity, they have no answer to some of this stuff. Richard Spencer, in this case, was being talked to by a Muslim who was basically like, you want your woman to be out there with cleavage so every man can, you know, see her and be thinking about her sexually. And it's like, this is such a barbarous mindset. This is such a caveman mindset of just like, oh, a sexy woman, I must rape. Like, it's like, can you not control yourself? Can you not see a beautiful woman and not immediately take it to the most carnal level? Like, what are you talking about? You are incapable of controlling yourself, so you cover your women. That's a failing on your part. You're weak. You're a weak person. You should be able to see something and not, like, fall apart. You know, it's like... But again, this is the false dichotomy, and Richard Spencer doesn't really have an answer. He's like, I'm a sensual guy. It's like, that's weird. Okay, cuck. It's kind of a weird way to be. I would say I'm not responsible for the inability for people around me to control their own thoughts. Like, that's entirely up to you. Like, I can drive a nice car, and I don't care that other people might see it and imagine driving in that car. They don't get in the car. It doesn't happen. They're not going to steal my car because I'm going to protect it. But it's like this idea of like, why would you drive a nice car around? Don't you know it's going to make people want to steal it? It's like, what? That's crazy. That's a crazy way of thinking. And that's the Muslim mindset. So again, it's like, oh no, this isn't the hijab isn't about, you know, oppressing women. It's about, you know, purity and keeping them pure for everybody. But then you actually ask them and it's like, oh, well, we don't want our women dressing up because it's going to make all the men lustful. So we have to protect them from the men. It's like, that's crazy. That really is crazy. We never had to do that in Europe or America. We had women who could go around in bikinis and short shorts and short skirts and not be raped by a giant gang of men who all call their cousins as soon as they get their hands on a white girl. Like, this is something new to our, and it has a self-fulfilling effect, right? Once you bring in enough Muslims, even the non-Muslims will be like, I don't want to go out alone. I need a man to come with me because I'm going to be assaulted if I go out alone. Or if I, and again, this is a phenomenon, like stuff like in the UK, I mean, the horror stories again are endless and we go on and on about them. But the one that always sticks out to me is the girl who gets raped by a Pakistani guy, is dumped on the street, is like crying and bleeding and goes to help to the first person she sees. That person happens to be a Pakistani. He rapes her, right? Because it's this idea of a woman who is sexually promiscuous is like a piece of trash. Like, you don't have to think about how they feel. You don't have to understand anything about them. Like, they're a piece of meat to be used. And because they're promiscuous, you know, they've opened themselves up to that and it's their fault for it. So that's an Islamic idea. That's an Islamic impulse. That doesn't happen. That would never, ever, ever happen in Europe or America unless you were in just like the weird, like, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. Cause even in just like the worst, most crime ridden parts of America, you see a little girl bleeding and crying, getting dumped out of a taxi. No one's like, ooh, oh, a sex doll for me. Thanks, friend. And just like picks her up and takes her. It happened like 3 or 4 times in a row to this one girl. I remember reading the story when it first broke. That's a phenomenon that is a consequence of the lack of Muslims to have any self-control when it comes to women. And so they force their women to be covered up. Like, the point of all of this is they can try to portray it however they want. Not every Muslim woman is a nun. You know that, right? No, they're all being oppressed by their men who will beat or behead. I mean, why is the term honor killing? Why does that exist? Doesn't exist in Christian culture, but it's a phenomenon. And hell, the Hindus do it too. Oh, but if I'm against Hindus, I mean, I love Muslims, because, you know, in India, the Muslims and the Hindus, you know, hate each other. You know, the Muslims and the Hindus in India are constantly fighting against each other. So if you hate Islam, I guess you love Vishnu. I guess you're okay with Indians coming in and, you know, taking up all of our jobs with H-1B visas, because, you know, if you're against one thing, you must be in favor of their enemy, right? Because I'm retarded, because I'm a retarded sneeko type person that can't understand opposing two different forces that also oppose you. Yeah, I'm against Hinduism. I'm against Islam. I'm against Judaism. I'm a Christian. That means I'm a Christian. Believing and adhering to one religion means intrinsically you are not the other religions, and you are actually at odds with them. Intrinsically, that's what it means to have a religion. They seem not to understand that. So yeah, every other religion is worse. Absolutely. Every other religion does not have the fundamental value that Christianity does. The primary one is conversion. It's that conversion is only valid if you accept it truthfully with your own heart. And this goes back to what I was talking about at the beginning of this segment, the idea of Jesus Christ's teaching that it's not good enough just to resist your temptation. You have to expel the temptation from your mind. To look upon a woman with lust is just as bad as committing adultery with her. That was Jesus's lesson. And it's, you know, it's a very similar connection you could draw to all of this. It's what really matters. Like, to Christianity, what actually matters to us is your soul being saved. So if I can force you at gunpoint to kneel in front of the cross and, you know, say the Lord's Prayer, that means nothing. That means nothing, just like an unrepentant person slaughtering an animal as a sacrifice means nothing. You have to actually mean it. It actually, the only person, the only force that actually judges that is between you and God. So like, you can lie to humans, you can lie to us, but in your heart, if you don't accept Jesus Christ, God knows that. So it's like, you can't force people to be Christian. You can force them to take on the actions of Christians, but you can't actually force anybody to be Christian. It's contradictory. That doesn't make any sense. And America was built on this foundation, right? You can't really force people to embrace liberty, because you remove liberty with force. So you have to actually accept it. You have to genuinely and on your own volition accept these ideas and then live those ideas, or else it doesn't count. Islam is different. Islam, if they can make you say the Islamic, you know, version of the Nicene Creed, whatever their, you know, Allah is God, whatever their little statement is, then you are essentially Islamic, right? Conversion by force is a very prominent feature of Islam since the beginning. You are lying if you're ignorant if you change your mind about it, if you claim that that's not true. It's absolutely true, and it's incompatible with Christianity, because once again, you literally cannot force people to convert to Christianity, not in any meaningful way that actually matters to any real Christian. Again, you can do it politically. You know, a king can convert to Christianity and force his subjects to convert, but the conversion of the heart is what actually matters to Christians, and that just cannot be forced. It just can't. In Islam, it's not like that. In Judaism, they don't even allow for conversion, because it's not really about, you know, spreading their religious ideas to everybody. It's about something else entirely. We can get into that later if we want to. But I do got to tell you, folks, today is one of the last days. In fact, tomorrow, let's see, Wednesday, no. So Friday, 2 days from now, will be the final day to take advantage of the crossover event. This comes around about once a month when we have two different giveaways running simultaneously. So once a month, we give away an awesome car, and like, every car seems cooler than the last, and this has been going on for a while, so the cars at this point are just phenomenal. And the only way to win it is by going to thealexjonesstore.com. If you go between now and Friday and make a purchase, every purchase you make, you will get 250 entries for every dollar you spend. So you only have a few days left to take advantage for that. So anything you buy from the Alex Jones Store, you get entered to win the 2026 Dodge Charger, as well as the 2026 Ram 2500 Laramie, plus $20,000 in cash. Every dollar you spend gets 250 entries. That means you spend $100, you get 25,000 entries to this. Somebody's got to win it. It's going to be somebody that goes to thealexjonesstore.com. It might as well be you. And by the way, you get a free hat for the first 1,300 orders in this contest to win either of these incredible cars. And of course, you got to become a VIP member. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. And we haven't covered it in a while. We covered it so much early on, but now we've got new viewers. It's worth reminding you. To join the VIP club at thealexjonesstore.com, it costs $30 a month, but you immediately get $40 to spend at the store. So if you buy anything at the store, it really only makes sense to become a VIP member. It's like you're getting $10 off whatever purchase you make, and you can cancel it anytime. So thealexjonesstore.com/VIP or thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. So, you know, that means, and plus you're getting the extra discount. So for example, the shower head that we're offering, this incredible new filtering shower head, so you're not breathing in and getting soaked in all the chemicals that are in tap water. Normal price, buy this at the store, it's $140, right? Get it from thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, you get it for even cheaper. But the VIP members get it for even cheaper than that. So I think it goes down to something like $69 as a VIP member. But if you sign up to be a VIP member and you get the $10 left, you're basically getting a $140 shower head for about $50. If you're a VIP member, you spend $30, you get $40 to spend in the store. Then you get the additional discounts for the shower head as a VIP member. So really, you're walking away with a $140 shower head that's well worth it at that price. It'll probably sell out at that price. And you're getting it for like around $50 if I did my math right. So that's the time. I mean, you're talking about two-thirds off if you're a VIP member and you get the shower head right now. So it just makes sense. It's incredible product. I think it'd be well worth it at $140. But if you can get it for significantly less than half of that, why not, right? TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Sign up to be a VIP member. Enter to win the cars and get the incredible products. And best of all, keep this operation rolling, dominating, expanding, and evolving. And evolving, ever evolving into things that are greater than ever before. And, you know, while we're on the topic of foreigners demanding things from us, while we're talking about, you know, mystery meat, foreigners coming over here, or being born here, whatever. Streets are saying Alex Jones instantly won the debate with Sneeko after this. Yeah, look, I mean, if you were watching the chat, it was heavily weighted towards Alex. Heavily weighted towards Alex, which is funny because it was Sneeko's stream. But obviously, Alex is cooler and better. Let's go to clip 22 here. This is a woman who just won an election. I think she's going to be a congresswoman, if I'm not mistaken. I'll find out who exactly she is. But Melit Kyros is demanding reparations, which is very funny because she wasn't born here. So let's watch.
The things that brought me into starting my PhD program was finally coming to the realization that we were never really going to be able to tackle white supremacy in the way that we need to without reparations. There is no way to truly heal and to progress and move on from acts of such cruel systemic violence against an entire group of people without at the very least acknowledgement.
Look at them nodding as if anything she's saying means anything.
Actually repairing the damage done. And so some of the research that that led me into the program was finding that, you know, ironically, there's not a very good deal of research specifically on white poor people. We see a lot of wealth inequality research by race, right? And we know that the gap between black wealth and white wealth is staggering. But there's not as much research that's looking just at poor white people versus rich white people. And I was kind of curious to see if there might be a reason behind that. And what I ended up finding was that the gap between poor white people and rich white people.
White people deserve reparations for the last century of exploitation that we've been subjected to. We've spent trillions of dollars on Africa. We are at this very moment being scammed out of hundreds of billions of dollars by hostile foreigners like this woman. She was born in Ethiopia. So we are now importing people who are demanding reparations for their countries, who we never invaded, never colonized. They're just a different country that sucks, and apparently that's our fault and we have to pay for it. I think white people need reparations for the endless welfare that we've paid that has in effect destroyed our own countries. We're desperate here.
2 years to do this, our great sponsor. I'm not bitching. It's amazing. They got the highest rated. We've published the studies, showed it to you, you know, the big third-party testing firms. The highest quality, gravity-fed filters, cuts out all the thousands of different forever chemicals like atrazine and glyphosate to non-detectable levels, meaning zero, basically. Can't detect it. That's the highest rating. With the most beautiful stainless steel. 3 gallon system. You can get the stand if you want to. A lot of people don't even need the stand. Looks great in your kitchen. Great at your business. But the most important thing is it cuts all these toxins out. This is the number one thing you should do for your family, for people, your coworkers. This is no more bottled water. No more. You dump swamp water in this, pool water, whatever. It cuts everything out. And it funds the operation. Everybody needs one of these. This is a home run. I am so impressed because I've been bitching it bigly. Like 2 years ago, we started. Go, hey, we need this. Here's the ratings. This is the highest thing. I want stainless steel. You can go out and find the company, you know, the manufacturers. Go to I want the highest quality, lowest price. They're selling crap. They don't even have the good filters. This isn't even stainless steel. It's plastic. For more than this, get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com. Commit to yourself to get the poisons out of the water. It's one of the biggest moves you can make to take control of your life, and it funds this operation. Order it now at thealexjonesstore.com. Take action. And there's a big sale that's going to end Sunday night at midnight, and that is Ultimate Life Force, the ultimate spike protein cardiovascular booster for everybody. That is 50% off. Bunch of other deals. They're going to end soon at thealexjonesstore.com. Widest selection of Patriot Apparel and more. And the live feeds of the show are at thealexjonesstore.com as well.
Nice try, globalist, but Alex Jones is still here, and he's not f***ing leaving. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. Third hour is on. This is War Room Live. Share the link at alexjoneslive.com. We're going to open up the phone lines for your calls this last hour. I'm looking for comments on the Sneeko debate. The number to dial, 512-266-0642. That's 512-266-0642. Taking calls right now. It is 5 o'clock on the dot, Central Standard Time on the 8th. Of July 2026. So if you're hearing my voice live now, give us a call 512-266-0642 and we'll go out to those calls just as soon as they arrive. Now, again, continuing with the topic of foreigners hijacking our country. And I guess I should be clear here. I've got a lot of friends that are first or second, you know, generation immigrants. I don't actually have a problem with immigrants or people from other countries. I love Muslims from other countries. Absolutely. But this is our house. This is our home. This is where we live. It's our country. We don't have anywhere else to go. So we have to defend it. And there's a difference between a trickle of immigrants who come here on merit, who believe in America, who sever their ties to their homeland, abandon their allegiances, and truly, fully embrace the American spirit, I got no problem whatsoever. A lot of the immigrants or second-generation immigrants I know seem to get America better than a lot of white people I know. There's no debate. We're obviously not talking about every individual here, and I suppose I should make that little acknowledgement before we, yes, very much object to the systematic dilution of the American people and the selling out of our birthright to a bunch of foreigners. And I'll say once again, if you don't understand that this is a nationalistic, a racialistic conflict going on, you're being fooled. If you actually think this is about some sort of communistic class divide, that explanation is insufficient to explain the major problems occurring in our country, which all have to do with Americans of every race, color, and creed, and every income level being discriminated against and screwed over by foreigners who are benefiting their co-ethnics. This is a obvious thing going on. And we've shown you videos of people like Indians going, hey, you know, we're going to use our population like the Jews do. We're going to get into a country and then we're going to sway that country's politics to benefit us. They do it openly in New Zealand. They're literally like, well, we're 5% of the population, which means we can swing the vote. So you better serve us or else, you know, we're going to vote for the other side. Why would we allow this? Why would this be something that any Western country at all would be okay with? All right, might have to save the H-1B coverage for a second. This just dropped. At the direction of the Commander-in-Chief, U.S. Central Command have started conducting additional strikes against Iran to further degrade the ability to threaten the freedom of navigation in the Strait of Hormuz. The United States is holding Iran accountable for recent unjustified aggression against commercial shipping and civilian crews freely navigating in a vital international waterway. So, yes, we are ramping up the attacks on Iran. We are in a full-fledged way getting back into the war that has never been for us, does not serve us in any way, and should have been over a while ago if we could for once put a muzzle on Israel and stop them from bombing Lebanon, the world would be at peace now. But we seem incapable or unwilling to do that. So we are once again at war with the Islamic Republic, and they are once more eating our lunch because they're on the right side of the MOU. They're on the right. I mean, this was part of it, right? They were going to demand the Strait of Hormuz be under their control. America seemed amenable to that. But then we wanted to have this ulterior route. Iran's like, we never agreed to that. We're going to blow up your ships. I mean, imminently predictable, but they didn't want the war to end, so it's not going to end. The people want it to end. Seems like the leadership of the countries want it to end, but Israel doesn't. So on it goes. We'll be back to cover more and your calls.
Do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
Welcome back, folks. Let me give you a rundown of what's happening with Iran. This is just another humiliation ritual for America and the Trump administration. A squadron commanding officer identified as Navy aviator has been killed in a downed helicopter. The U.S. Navy identified the missing sailor from an emergency helicopter landing in the Arabian Sea on July 1st as the commanding officer of Helicopter Sea Combat Squadron 5. Commander Gabriel Edwards vanished after the MH-60S Seahawk helicopter he was aboard went down at 3:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, along with three other sailors who were subsequently rescued. Commander Gabe Edwards was the epitome of selfless leadership who dedicated himself to service and sacrifice for the last 20 years, Captain Matthew Lewis, commander of carrier Air Wing 7, said in a Tuesday statement, our deepest gratitude and sympathy go out for his family. I don't want to like make light of it, but it's like, what did he die for? Why are you telling his family he had to die? Why is he there in the Middle East? Why is he carrying out these dangerous missions? What is the point of this? He signed up to give his life selflessly for his fellow Americans, but his death has now been brought about for the sake of Israel and their desire to kill Lebanese people. So this is the tragedy of our current situation. I don't think a single Gabriel Edwards, Commander Gabriel Edwards, is worth the state of Israel. I don't think a single Navy helicopter pilot should be sacrificed for the freedom of action of the Jewish people in the Middle East. This is disgusting and pathetic, and I do feel bad for the family. And it's like, so I don't want to like undercut the sacrifice. It's a big deal, obviously. But like, that's the point, isn't it? This is a big deal. This is a major sacrifice. Even one American life is worth more than the state of Israel, in my opinion. So why are we sacrificing them? He wouldn't be there if it weren't for Netanyahu's blackmail network. Jet-lagged Trump wakes up in furious mood as he torches Iran, Spain, Denmark, and NATO allies. Donald Trump derailed what was supposed to be a show of unity during the NATO summit in Turkey as he raged at allies, renewed demands to take over Greenland, and declared the Iranian ceasefire over. This week's NATO summit in Ankara, Turkey, was meant to be a show of strength and unity, but Donald Trump derailed the two event with rage-filled remarks that simultaneously reignited the conflict in the Middle East. The U.S. president didn't hold back as he reiterated his frustration at NATO on Wednesday, complaining the member countries have not treated us right, calling out France, Germany, Italy, and the U.K. specifically before describing Spain as a bad partner, which I assume is just because Spain didn't allow America or Israel to use their bases to carry out strikes against Iran. They didn't feel like participating, and they have spoken up pretty strongly against Israel in the past, so obviously we have to sever our ties with them. If you disrespect Israel, it's America that'll be the one who will make you pay the price, which again is why I'm very suspicious. I don't think this is a America first, America hoorah, we're going to show it to Europe sort of thing. I think this is the next step in the total destruction of Europe by the globalist who brought in the Muslims, who created the entire, you know, world order where America was in charge of providing defense for the entire Western world. Like, Europe didn't necessarily set that up. That was mostly America after World War II, when we had carte blanche to like remake the constitution of half of the European states. And we prevented them from defending themselves because we didn't trust them to build up an army. You know, Germany obviously has happened after World War I. They ignored it. So the second time around, we guaranteed that they wouldn't be. So I think that this is just an attack on Europe. I think the Muslims, immigration is an attack on Europe, and I think this is the next step, is basically going, well, they're Muslim countries now, so we're going to abandon and destroy them, even though they're our heartland, they're our homeland, they're our ancestral lands. I don't hate Europe. I don't want to see Europe destroyed. I want to see Europe survive and flourish. I want to see them expel the Muslims that have been brought in and not be subject to the whims of Trump or his Israeli masters. Trump cuts off all trade with terrible NATO partner Spain, again, at the behest of Israelis. What other reason would there be? There's not. Trump says ceasefire with Iran is over, calling its leaders, quote, scum. Great. Very adult. Trump says he'll remove Syria from the state-sponsored list of terrorism list now that a former al-Qaeda terrorist runs the country. Because, I mean, you know, Syria is like the best example where, like, you had a Western educated Alawite moderate leader, but because he didn't like Israel, because he didn't play along with Israel's genocidal takeover plan of the entire Middle East, then we ousted him, put a literal terrorist in charge who has carried out pogroms routinely ever since he got back in. He is a radical Muslim. He does make his wife wear a veil and stand behind him, unlike Bashar al-Assad, whose wife was basically as Western as Melania, at the very least. But somehow they're the good guys and Bashar al-Assad's the bad guys. Like, when you understand the only dichotomy is pro-Israel or against Israel, that everything else is jokes, right? The Sunnis in Saudi Arabia are the extremist faction of Muslims. They are the ones who run the, you know, madrasas in Europe that fed soldiers into ISIS. Like, they're actually the extremist bad guys, much more so than the Shia. But the Shia are the ones who are effectively organizing against Israel, so we have to go to war with Iran. It's all manipulation, right? The only thing that matters to the people in charge is what is good for Israel. And if Bashar al-Assad is bad for Israel, then he's an evil guy that needs to be ousted. Bring in the head-chopping ISIS commander. That doesn't make any sense. This doesn't make any sense. Until you understand that the actual dichotomy is he's a slave for Israel because he's ISIS, because ISIS was always in service of the Greater Israel Project. It was created after Israel tried and failed to invade Lebanon because they wanted a force to attack Lebanon from the north, and they wanted to take out Syria, so they created ISIS, or rather the CIA-funded moderate rebel groups that just so happened to crop up everywhere that ISIS was. So until, you know, we as Americans can see through the deception and, you know, look past the shiny lights and the Wizard of Oz display and see the crooked little man in the behind the curtain making all the decisions, then we're just going to be stuck in this ridiculous nonsense forever. U.S. strikes Iran, Tehran strikes back, peace negotiations abandoned, more strikes expected. Again, we were happy, we were thrilled. Trump himself was celebrating the end of this conflict, and it would have gone smoothly if it weren't for Israel bombing Lebanon. All of this, the new conflict, the new bombing of Iran, the death of the peace process, the radicalization of Iran and the greater power than ever that they wield in that country, this is all a consequence of Israel being unwilling to just stop murdering Lebanese people. If they had just stopped, they could have just paused. They could have just said, you know what? All right, we'll stop bombing high rises in Beirut for 48 hours and we would have had peace. But they didn't want to do that. So we're going back to war. It's not really not that complicated. And they're, of course, setting up for Turkey to be the next boogeyman, and that could not be more obvious. Iran's regime is now stronger than before Trump's war. It's from the Telegraph. It was only 3 weeks ago that Trump sat in the mirrored splendor of the Palace of Versailles and signed a memorandum of understanding designed to end his war with Iran. Now he's declared the agreement to be over and denounced the Iranian signatories as scum, liars, and sick people, and the hard reality that no one should be surprised. Well, it, of course, was entirely contingent on Israel not bombing Lebanon, something they refused to do. So it was never actually a memorandum of understanding because America was never capable or willing to uphold our end of the bargain and stop Israel from carrying out a genocide. So that's what all this is about. And Israel is very concerned about us selling F-35s, but this seems to be a pressure tactic anyway, where we're telling them we're either going to give Turkey F-35s or you have to withdraw from Lebanon. And it's just like, how about we just give the F-35s to Turkey and then we give a nuclear bomb to Iran and then we eradicate Israel and then we go back to where we were 126 years ago with peace in the Middle East before Israel arrived and caused literally every problem from then till now. Literally everything. What if we eradicate Israel as a, you know, nation state? I don't care what happens to the people. They can leave. They can stay. Whatever. It doesn't matter. But the political organization needs to be eradicated completely, fully, resolutely, and brutally, I might add. And then and only then will America be able to stop starting wars that don't serve us. The Middle East can go back to where it was before the Israelis arrived, which was basic peace. And, you know, it's just sort of a backwater place of the world that nobody thought about very much till the Israelis arrived, started killing everybody, and kicked off this whole ridiculous nonsense that we suffer under till today. That would be my suggestion. My suggestion is arm Turkey with everything you've got. Why not? They already hold our nuclear weapons, don't they? They're already members of NATO, aren't they? And you think if Israel attacked Turkey, wouldn't that be funny? Would that be something? We'd see a lot of confusion about Article 5 of the NATO treaty, considering the fact that we all have to go to war with Russia, even though Ukraine is not a NATO member. Be interesting to see if a non-NATO member like Israel attacked a NATO member. I think you'd see that Article 5 was suddenly was a little bit of wiggle room, actually. Actually, we don't totally need to stick to that all the time, because remember, nothing matters except what is good for Israel. Law, international law, human rights, international courts. They can be the bulwark of our democracy. They can be something celebrated endlessly by the very people who will then turn around and say, actually, we should invade The Hague for saying that Benjamin Netanyahu is a war criminal. So it doesn't matter. They enforce the law when it serves them. They don't when it doesn't. They support moderate Muslims when it serves them. They support ISIS commanders if that serves them. Everything is for the sake of Israel. This Iran war is no exception. It's kind of just exhausting to have to you know, live this out over and over again. And then to see yesterday, it announced that Pete Hegseth will be traveling to Israel to receive advice from Benjamin Netanyahu. And it turns out it was actually about the possible sale of F-35s to Turkey. Let's just, can we stop caring what Israel has to say about anything? Again, if they just didn't exist, you know, I'm just seeing the ultimate solution here being the non-existence of Israel. I think I saw, solve world peace with this one cool trick. Doctors hate this one cool trick to bring world peace about forever. It's eradicate Israel. Okay, let's go out to your calls. Megan, thank you for calling in on line one. You're from West Virginia. Go ahead, Megan, you're on the air.
Hi, what's up?
Not much. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing good. What'd you think about the Sneeko debate?
Yeah, that guy, I think he lost his mind a long time ago.
You weren't convinced?
There's something wrong with his thinking, for sure.
You didn't find his arguments compelling?
No, absolutely not.
Well, so how'd you think about what Alex's performance?
Oh, AJ did. He was perfect. He gave him the what for how to, and he quietly put him in his spot.
Yeah, well, and like I said, I think Alex was basically done with the debate after about 30 minutes and just started having fun with it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Total Alex victory, Megan.
Yep. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we'll tack that one up. I totally agree. Thank you so much for the call. Anything else?
That's it.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll go now to Sean in California, one of our regular callers. What did you think about the Sneeko debate, Sean?
Oh, my gosh, Harrison, it wasn't William F. Buckley and Gore Vidal, I'll tell you that.
I don't know. I mean,
you know, I feel bad for Alex. I think, like, you know, Sneeko was so unintelligent that he was gradually draining Alex of intelligence. That's why Alex was like, yeah, this kid can hear, but he can't listen and learn. So I would be like Alex myself, just start insulting him after a while. And sadly, a lot of people, whether they be online or in the podcast realm, that's how their mind works, is that they don't digest what they're being told. They just want to repeat their point or go, nuh-uh. And that's not a debate tactic. That's just, you know, not conceding the point when you're, you know, incorrect. Of which, do you want to have a thought on Turkey here real quick?
Yeah. Well, what's your take on Turkey?
I had this really terrible thought. If Israel does somehow destabilize Turkey and you got Ukraine north of it, wouldn't that be an easy pipeline to either get jihadis or to get people from Africa to just make a quick beeline right up into Russia and basically, you know, attack and split up the most, you know, orthodox country on the planet? I mean, I kind of could see that in terms of, you know, old land warfare. I don't know how they do in this era, but I actually think, you know, in a way, them trying to say Turkey's next makes sense. And they can always also pull the old card out of their hat for getting rid of Erdogan on corruption, because his son, if you recall, used to buy oil from ISIS when we were like, why is Turkey and NATO if they're going to, you know, finance ISIS through oil sales and purchases? So I think Turkey's kind of in a bad spot, to be honest. You know, they're right between Ukraine and Israel, who have a lot more in common than you think. So I'd love to hear what you have to say about that, and your analysis about this being a loss for Sneeko is definitely on the nose. Sneeko got crushed like Ultimate Warrior crushed Honky Tonk Man.
Well, and you know what's funny? The crew was bringing up, as you were talking, a picture Sneeko posted of Alex like freaking out and Sneeko sitting calmly. It's like, you understand he's mocking you, right? Like, Alex Jones was not actually freaking out. He's not actually like, dang it, Sneeko, he's like mocking you. He's like, being silly and mocking you because he doesn't take you seriously, because he thinks you're a joke, because he's not actually, you know, it doesn't feel the need to even like respond in a real way. You're not actually a like opponent to debate. You are an enemy to mock. So yeah, he thinks that makes him look good. Alex was literally just like messing with you for the last second half of the debate, Sneeko. You lost it in the first 20 or 30 minutes, and the rest of it was Alex just having fun and entertaining all of us, which you seem incapable of doing. You take yourself too seriously, which is another funny part of all of it. When it comes to Turkey, I mean, I'm not a big fan of Turkey. One of the first things I made for InfoWars was a segment called Turkey is an Islamic caliphate in all but name, because if you watch Erdogan's career, and especially the fake like coup that they carried out in like 2018 when he was on the plane and he's like Skyping in, basically Turkey was founded at, you know, after the fall of the Ottoman Empire, you had the Young Turks and you had Ataturk, who was basically their version of George Washington. And he set it up deliberately so that Turkey's army was shielded from Islamic influence. And they wanted it to be this way. And it was like the Turkish army is the backstop. They do not get into the interpersonal Muslim extremists because, you know, honest Muslims, Muslims that are just like actually statesmen and trying to, you know, found a country in the early 1900s. They didn't have the sneako lie of like, no, we're Muslims are all great together. And, you know, it has nothing to do with, you know, controlling a government. You know, they understood if we don't have very strict backstops to the Islamification of our government, then it will very quickly become a battleground between Shia and Sunni, between factionalism, which will all use the army to try to eradicate their enemies in the homeland. And that can't happen. So we're going to have a nationalistic government, a nationalistic army that serves the people of Turkey regardless. And we're going to just, in a very severe and strict way, keep Islamic influence out of the army. Now, Erdogan basically systematically unwound that and undid that, and is slowly but surely, you know, increased the influence of his particular brand of Islam into Turkey. So like, and Turkey, of course, is behind a lot of the invasion of Syrians. They were the conduit. They were the ones who, like in the video that we show of the Israelis welcoming the Syrians to Greek shores. Well, they all left from Turkish shores originally and were ferried across by the Turkish Navy. So I'm not even like a fan of Turkey. Turkey is the biggest army on mainland Europe. And they serve a very important, you know, historical point. And they still, to this day, serve as this bridge between the Middle East, Asia, and Europe. And they play that very well. They're a member of NATO, but they're Islamic. They're, you know, not enemies with Israel, but they're certainly not friends. They, I mean, it's all very kind of like confusing once you get up there. But the other thing that I always think of when it comes to Turkey is, of course, the Orthodox prophecy that says that Turkey and Greece will get into a conflict and that Russia will destroy Turkey, because Russia and Turkey have a very, very old enmity between them, with basically the Turkish takeover, the Ottoman Muslim takeover of Constantinople, turning it into Istanbul, forcing the Orthodox Church to flee. They made their new homeland in Moscow, which is like the third Rome. So there's always this sort of impetus from Russians that like we should take Turkey back over, and of course the prophecy says that there will be a nuclear exchange between Russia and Turkey, and we seem to be heading towards that just a little bit. We can go to some clips from Erdogan here, because he made statements at this NATO summit, the one that we're talking about Trump being at. Let's go to clip 33 here first. This is Turkish President Erdogan on Lebanon and Gaza. I hope this is subtitled here. Dang it! All right, we gotta get this translated. My bad, but I do have the statements that he made. But essentially, he is saying that, you know, they have to solve this disagreement in the water with Greece. He also has said that Trump has adopted a positive attitude towards Turkey regarding the F-35 issue. God willing, when the F-35s are delivered to Turkey, the whole world will say the U.S. has kept its word. He's more optimistic about Trump keeping his word than most people. That sounds like a threat to me. It's like, yeah, when they deliver the 35s, everyone will realize America keeps its word. Basically going, you know, you people have lost a lot of trust across the world by allying with Israel, and you keep, you know, like killing the negotiator you're supposed to be negotiating with, or you sign this memorandum of understanding and then pretend not to know what's in it and allow Israel to keep bombing Lebanon. Like, we keep, on behalf of Israel, we keep betraying our partners, betraying negotiations, and we're deeply untrustworthy at this point. So Erdogan is basically going, but if you fulfill this F-35 order, then that might be a mark in your favor, which you really need right now because you have all these marks against you. So he, you know, he knows the role he's in, and he's, you know, playing it fairly well. The long-term, you know, strategy from Israel and America would not be to do anything with Erdogan. They know Erdogan is getting up there in age. And so what they're almost certainly doing is planning for his replacement, and they'll try to bring in somebody who is either a lot more Islamic in order to basically create the conditions in which Turkey does become the next Iran in order to validate, you know, that strategy that they're already pursuing, or they'll try to bring in somebody who is a lot more Zelensky-like, who will be a slave of the EU, NATO, and Israel. Erdogan is a smart dude who's, you know, playing it both ways, and it may be up to him to determine, you know, his succession plan and how successful that will be. But if I was Israel and America, this isn't something they're trying to get done right now. This is something they're laying the groundwork to come to fruition maybe 5 to 10 years from now when Erdogan is being replaced. So again, remember, these people think in, you know, generational timetables. So don't think that just because they're starting to talk about Turkey right now, we're going to be going to war with Turkey in 2 years. They're laying the groundwork now so that they can manipulate the Turkish population, likely following Erdogan's death. Maybe before. We'll see. So that's my take on Turkey. We'll be back with more on the other side. Final segment starts in about 3 minutes, and we'll take your calls. We got Jay Jefferson and a few more people.
And a microscopic tag being planted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Colin saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder to put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away, not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
good. Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting the you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health. What it's done is absolutely insane. GetMasterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, GetMasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder, and what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to GetMasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. GetMasterpiece.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. We'll go out to your calls in just a second. I do want to go to clip 36 here. This is Vice President J.D. Vance talking about the reignited war with Iran and the collapse of the talks with them. Let's watch.
Most of all, thanks to the troops, we came into the situation with maximum leverage and maximum strength. Their nuclear program was destroyed. Their conventional military was destroyed. And you've got some people within the Iranian system who are saying, you know what? We want to change our relationship with the United States. We want to turn over a new leaf. And the president said, okay, we will sit down at the table and negotiate and see if the smart people in that system can take over from the crazy people. Well, here's the basic deal that we cut. The basic deal that we cut was, we'll lift our blockade if you stop shooting at ships. But if you shoot at ships, we are going to punch back, and we're going to punch back harder than ever before. That was the deal. They said they would stop shooting at ships. And what happened 24 hours ago? They start shooting at ships again. Now, they were good. They were well-behaved for about a week. But then they start shooting at ships. So the deal is very simple. If they shoot at ships, we're going to knock the hell out of them. And it's that simple. And that's the basic way it's going to work. Now, the president maintains a lot of options. I'm obviously not going to tell you exactly what's going to happen tonight, but the president has said to them very simply, the Strait of Hormuz is going to be open. That means oil and gas is going to flow to the American people. That's why we see gas prices starting to come down. That's why we see the oil prices so low, is because the president said that crucial artery through which we ship a lot of the world's energy, that artery has got to remain open. And that is what the Iranians have to know. If they try to close it down, there's going to be a response for the American military. It's that simple. That's the deal. They can either follow it, or they can have exactly what happened to them last night. It's just going to keep on happening until they open up that lane and stop shooting at ships. It's simple.
So, I mean, it's kind of weird to say that you completely took them out and destroyed their nuclear ability, and but we still have to fight them to stop them from getting a nuclear ability, and we destroyed their navy and ground forces. We've totally obliterated them militarily, but they are still shooting at our ships, and they did target something like 85 American bases in Bahrain and the surrounding area as of today, Wednesday. They did that, 85. So apparently we didn't actually degrade their ability to any sufficient degree. There's also always this talk about the mythological, the fantastical, the imaginary Western-leaning leadership of Iran that are just waiting to, you know, pick up the flag. It's just like, this doesn't exist. This is nonsense. Everybody knows this is nonsense. Iran still has the ability to shut down the strait. They still have reason to shut down the strait. And we still rely on the strait being opened to avoid catastrophic economic activity. So all the rhetoric, all the talking points fall to the wayside when you look at the physical reality of what's actually happening, which is that Iran has not been degraded. They still have dominance over the Hormuz Strait. They still have the ability to hit ships, and they still have no reason to trust that they have a partner in America that will actually stick to the agreement once it's signed. They have been incentivized over and over again to keep this war going until they can get some real, you know, legitimate concessions from America, which once again, we could have had 3 weeks ago. We signed this MOU, but Israel had other plans. So here we are. So just to even act like this was Trump's decision, Trump wanted the agreement to be signed. That was the sense I got. The sense I get now is that he's done with it. I mean, he's like, these people are scum. The ceasefire with Iran is over. It's all over. He's like, I don't care anymore. It's like, well, you're still in war. So like, if you really didn't care, if you really wanted this to be over, then you would sign the agreement And you'd say, hey, if Israel wants to bomb Lebanon, have fun, Iran. I'm not backing them up. I'm not going to defend them. They can stop attacking Lebanon and join us in this peace agreement. But if they would rather continue to attack Lebanon, then they are going to have to pay the price. It's like the simplest answer ever. It is the most obvious solution to all of this. Everybody involved wants this to be the case, except for Israel. So, of course, they get their way. So. Sucks, but there we are. Out to your calls now. We go to Jay in Maryland first. He has comments on the Sneeko debate. Thank you so much for calling in. Jay, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Harrison. About Sneeko, you know, I listened to the simulcast with you, and I get that you want to jump in because it's just so infuriating. You know, to think that it's a plausible argument to say that jihad means smile and that he thought Alex was actually going to play that game with him, you know, it just it goes to show how severely a low IQ person this actually is. And, you know, it's great that people start to notice that because, you know, I've been looking at these things at Sneeko for a while and he's incapable of debate. You know, you saw him with Nick Matau recently.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, well, he's this pro-Israel guy, you know, but Sneeko couldn't even stand up for, you know, his Palestine, free Palestine beliefs. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. He starts talking about Israel being created in 1948. He knows nothing about the history preceding that. And you know, Alex, you know, making fun of him, that was just great.
I agree. I completely agree. I saw some people online getting mad at me for interrupting, but, like, I'm not just going to simulcast Sneeko's stream. If you want to watch Sneeko's stream, you got to go there. I mean, I feel it would just be me stealing his content otherwise. And I tried to keep my interjections to a minimum, tried to time them so you weren't missing anything. So sorry if I talk too much, but I tried to keep it very much to a minimum.
You were good, Harrison. You were great.
Well, I appreciate that. Not everybody thinks so, but I can't just play somebody else's show on my show. I got to interject and give context, especially when they're lying so vociferously. Thank you so much for the call, Jay. Anything else before I let you go?
Yeah, no, just one last thing. When Sneeko offered to go on Alex's show, I believe at the end, and he first made Alex, you know, retract his call for deportation, you rightfully pointed out, Sneeko actually seemed to believe that Alex had some sort of sway over Sneeko's deportation. That was just the craziest part of to top it all off. And Sneeko's begging for a retraction because Elon Musk and Alex Jones are going to have ICE sent over to his home. It was bizarre.
He seemed genuinely relieved when Alex said, I don't think he should be deported. He's like, oh, thank goodness. It's like, dude.
He could breathe easy now. Alex is not sending ICE after him. You know, Alex is, people don't know this. I believe Alex is replacing Tom Homan now as the czar, you know?
But yeah, I wish. Then maybe we'd get something done. But
yeah,
man can dream. Thank you so much for the call, Jay. Appreciate it as always. Let's go to Jefferson in Virginia. Thanks so much for calling in. Jefferson, you're on the air. Jefferson? Jefferson's one of our regular callers. We don't usually have technical issues with him, but we'll put him on hold. If he comes back, we'll go to him. But let's go now to Abraham. I want to talk about Sneeko. Go ahead, Abraham. You're on the air.
My brother. Well, first of all, he doesn't understand American culture because you wouldn't try to pretend that that's a good name. Sneaky is just, it's a bad name. But
that's
like a pit bull against a chihuahua. Yeah, and there's a line in hip-hop where it says, competition, I just devour. Like a pit bull against a chihuahua.
That's what it was like.
Right. But I do want to comment about the Muslim culture. I don't have any dog in the fight. And I got to and then speak about the AlexJonesStore.com. Now, very quickly, if a person is born as a heterosexual male into a Muslim culture, for the male individual, he could have four wives of any size imaginable. And that's, you know, for a male individual, when you're young, you really want that. And then you grow up in that infrastructure. Are you going to oppose it? But but when they come to the United States and they start applying their exploitation of our system, this is the only news platform that is really getting the facts. Alex Jones and you, Mr. You guys are the best news, and you're so accurate. But the way the Muslim culture is in the United States is we have to emphasize the truth about the culture. You can't be like, oh, you're so highly ennoble, and your chief mentor had nine-year-old wives. Mm. That has to be in the context. And we have to use that as leverage that, like, don't say that your ethics are high and mighty and you deserve to have all of these advantages that we're just giving you carte blanche. No. And also their infrastructure is poorly maintained because they don't have a system. They don't allow the usury. So when you can't build a house with the way our banks build houses, so their infrastructure, it's less toxic. So they build less and they have less toxicity in their environment. So that's a plus. But when they come to our environment, they pig out on the wealth of our beautiful Christian system. Borrowing money in a strategic way with interest gives you the merit to earn your way up. So that's why they want to be in our system, because back home it may be less toxic biologically, but I don't want to marry my 12-year-old cousin. Mm. But if you grow up in that society, you'll be taught that it is acceptable, and you have four wives, and one, two of them are cousins, and two of them are not. But not everybody has that. It's only if you have wealth.
Well, and let's not forget, right? Well, that's one thing that's important to emphasize, is that the consanguinity or whatever the intermarriage that happens, that's an expression of selfishness, right? That's because you see your children as property, essentially, and you basically don't want somebody else to marry your cousin and get that chunk of your family's property. It's like, no, we got to keep that in the family. So that is born from selfishness, and it's worth pointing that out, that it's not necessarily just a cultural thing. It's like a selfishness thing. That's like, no, my cousin's going to be in my family. We're going to marry. It's like, it's not good. It's very, very deeply unhealthy. And then there's something else that you said I was going to comment on, but I got distracted at that last point. But I totally agree with what you're saying, Abraham. Please continue.
And well, look what happened to the English when they interbred. They have atrocious faces, and their wealth is consolidated, but the wealth is, but it's all concealed. We don't have the numbers. I'm going to tell you a funny story, and then I got to talk about alexjonesstore.com. I love Alex. I love William Cooper. I love what I believe I know about Edward Snowden. I love Francis Serpico. And let's just stick to those three. If those human individuals that could help us all avoid being brutalized by crooked police, brutalized by highly sophisticated, highly equipped mercenaries that will kill us if we talk against power, so we got to back Alex Jones and Hamilton. We have to back the alexjonesstore.com. And I started doing it as the VIP level. And for the last like 6 months, I've had my Celsin Blue every day, my T3 iodine every day, my CMOS gummies, the Chagrilic gummies, and the turmeric gummies, and definitely my health. I'm like 15 years old again in terms of optimism and health and quick movement. It just came, if I didn't have this information from the Alex Jones Network, I wouldn't have been so involved with the alexjonesstore.com. Mm. But I swear, everybody out there, if we were to support Alex Jones when the heavy hand comes against Alex, he'll have the economics and better infrastructure to shield him. Just like if Edward Snowden had his own infrastructure, he could have still been in the United States and fought. He was a CIA officer. He could have fought, if he had lawyers and been on bail and have a legal case. But we got to support the alexjonesstore.com. And my life is better because of those products. And listen, I only listen to you, brothers. Nothing else is news. Only the Alex Jones and War Room and these kind of, and Sunday night is the only news for me.
Wow. I so appreciate it. Could not agree with you more. And look, I know it's true of Alex. I know it's true of me. Like we genuinely don't care about money. I know that's like hard to believe. And like you look at, most of the other influencers, whatever you want to call them on the right wing, they're obviously not motivated by any principled, position. Like I have not really changed any position I've had the entire time I've been at InfoWars. I've been here for 9 years at this point, and you can go back and watch the first shows I did. I'm saying exactly the same stuff. We do not change because we're principled. And, it's one of the things when Alex was interviewing Nick and they were sort of going back and forth going, well, you were right about this. You were right about this. I'm not going to say who was right the entire time. I'm not going to say who nailed this early on. But you see it with people like Nick or others. It's like you might go, too edgy on one side. You might go really far on the other. You might think, okay, let's team up with the Muslims because, Israel is the big threat. And then you go, well, okay, actually, maybe we shouldn't be teamed up with them. And it's like, if you just stick with Americana, if you stick with the founding fathers, if you actually have that as your guiding light, you can just be right about everything, every time, without ever having to change your position or reverse. And it's nice because I see a lot of people just coming over to where InfoWars and Alex Jones were the entire time, which is just like, I don't care what race, color, or creed that you are. As long as you respect me, I can respect you, and you respect the country that we live in and our founding principles, then you can, you know, be a fully fledged American citizen just like I am. But you have to actually understand and believe in this stuff. Not that we're a creedal nation by any means, but we do have a unique position, as our history dictated, that we have all of these various populations, but we succeeded because of the melting pot concept, which is now being abandoned for the mosaic. They don't want you melting into American society anymore. So we've always held exactly the same positions, and mostly you see the radicals on every side eventually come around to realize that this is all you need. You need Americana. You need the understanding that nobody deserves to be targeted because of their race, and that includes white people. And there's nothing inconsistent about that. So it's been very nice to see people coming around. I remember what I was going to say too, because you talk about, you know, the Muslim influence, and I can't remember exactly what you said that made me think of this, but, you know, during, in the, report about the grooming gangs that recently came out, there were examples where the victims were saying, you know, there were young Muslim men there that didn't want to participate, that basically were forced to participate. I mean, you're not born seeing women as objects and being immune to the empathy that you would feel to a rape victim. But that can be inculcated. That can be taught to you. That can be overcome, right? That natural impulse you have to reject being a part of that, it can be overcome when your uncles and your dad and your cousins are all going, no, man, you got to get in. This is great. This is how we operate. You got to do this. And they actually force them to do it. So, I mean, this is a really poisonous mindset. And it's not that these people are born wrong. They're not born thinking this. This is a cultural indoctrination that occurs. And that's extremely important. And, of course, thank you so much for supporting us at thealexjonesstore.com. We cannot do it without you. We are genuinely not motivated by money. If we were, we'd run things a lot differently. And, you know, I can say that about me. You can believe it or not, but I can say it about Alex. Just knowing, absolutely. I mean, the same stuff he says on air, he says behind the scenes. He's like, look, they took my house, they took my car, they took everything, but I don't care. I'm going to keep doing this. We are winning the information war. We are succeeding. That's why they're targeting us, and having our stuff stolen is just a badge of honor. And like, we really do not value things that other people value. We value the truth. We value America. We value our history and our heritage and our future. And if you want to support a group of people that have dedicated themselves to this mission for decades and have shown how effective we can be, you got to go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Thank you very much for the call, Abraham. That was absolutely fantastic. The bulldog versus the chihuahua. Very appropriate. Let's go now to Godzilla. Wants to talk about Sneeko. Sneeko and the Serbians. I don't know. What's this about? Okay. I think I get where you're going with this. Go ahead, Godzilla. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison, how you doing? Yeah, when Sneeko first, like, started getting paid to, like, do content, it was, like, a little bit ago, bigger money. He made this, like, huge mega movie with, like, a bunch of buildup for it, bashing on Serbians.
Okay.
And it was, like, about the Bosnian-Serbian-Balkan conflicts, you know, where we get the term Balkanization from, and the genocide, and...
Sure.
Mass killing that happened over there.
Yeah, we bombed them on Easter with NATO. Yeah, as a big distraction from the Lewinsky scandal.
Yeah, and like they were calling like Serbia like the Israel of Europe and stuff. And like I think it's obvious why they don't like Serbia, because like they put their foot down always with Islam, you know, and they had like a strict policy, like you know, this famous Serbian hero. Veliki Kurac, you know, he was like, yeah, I'll meet with the Sultan. And the Sultan was like, yeah, okay, I'll meet with you. And he was like, the Serbian hero was like, yeah, I'll surrender. And the Sultan was like, okay, bow before me. And the Serbian hero like got close and bowed and pulled out a dagger and opened him up with the dagger and killed him. Now, of course, that Serbian hero was then just chopped into a million pieces by the security forces, you know, but I think that's one of the reasons why they bash on Serbia. You know, like you even remember when the Clintons were bombing them,
yeah.
You know, like Trump gets a lot of flack for bombing Iran and about bridges and power plants, but don't forget Clinton bombed Serbian power plants, bombed Serbian bridges and infrastructure. He even bombed the TV station.
Yeah, and they bombed the Christian, the Orthodox Christian community there on behalf of the Muslims, and they did it on Christmas Day. I mean, Easter Day was when the bombing first opened up. So it was like a symbolic attack on top of just an actual attack against the Christian population there. Isn't Melania Serbian? Or is she?
I think she's from East, like Slovakia and Slovenia.
Slovakia, yeah, okay.
But it's all very similar over there genetically, you know, southeastern Europe. But also, when they had the bombing in Serbia, NATO and the U.S. had to admit that they did purposely target and bomb children.
Right.
At first, when they bombed the children and the children died, they were like, we did it by mistake.
But well, and Serbia was the place where it was just revealed or just like confirmed that Western elites went to Serbia and would like pay to hunt people, and they would like be given sniper rifles, and they would just be like, and they would have to pay more to kill like women and children. But it was a literal killing playground for the Western elite. Absolutely.
And now to this day, they still kind of rub it in Serbia's face. They'll have like the LGBTQ George Soros funded marches, and they'll march by the monument of the dead children.
Right.
You know, just to be like, hey, we killed your kids.
Because
that's what it's all about, the future and the kids and the women, you know.
Absolutely. So tie this back to Sneeko for me.
Well, Christianity's in first place. Islam's in a long distance second place because many of the people who are following Islam, like the women who are brutalized and sexually violated all the time, the children and the slave class, which they don't talk about, you know, they're trying to like actively subvert and destroy the ideology of Americana, of similar ideologies in Europe, like Greek and Roman. And, you know, I was saying before in Serbia, where Christians stand up for themselves because the Christian population has been so cucked and pacified and poisoned in a variety of ways that they're trying to keep the Christians down so they never stand up and fight back for what their property, what they created, you know.
100%.
And they want a tyranny. They want the kids. They want the women. And it's happening at an accelerated rate. And, you know, you've discussed it for a long time, and Jones has discussed it for a long time. We've been in this war for a long time.
And you know, that might be the most absurd part, is that Alex Jones has been like one of the loudest voices, especially the loudest voice on the right, who's anti-war, who's been against the interventions in the Middle East. So it's like to bring somebody on like that, to bring on Alex Jones, who his career was defined by opposing the Bushes in the war in Iraq and undercutting and uncovering the truth about the official story of 9/11 that led to the wars. Like, Alex Jones has done more to try to prevent Middle Eastern wars than just about any American alive. So to bring him on and act like he's a Jewish agent, an Israeli agent that's pushing for the wars, or that, you know, he's anti-Islam and thinks that, you know, Iran should be like, I am anti-Islam. I am against Islam taking over Europe, which is exactly why I'm against the wars in the Middle East. That is like too confusing for people, but it seems very simple to me. I'm against Islam taking over Europe, so I'm against the wars that drive the Muslims into Europe. Like, that does not seem complicated. For some reason, to the Muslim view, it's like, if you're against the Muslims going into Europe, you must be in favor of the wars. It literally makes no sense. It is incomprehensible. Very good points, Godzilla. We got 1 minute left in the show. The floor is yours. Go ahead.
You were saying also about how it's an ideology attack. You know, they can't attack our ideas and debate us on the topics because the Christian and Americana fundamentals that the Founding Fathers laid out are just a better program. They're a better operating system, better modus operandi, MO, mode of operation.
Yeah.
And they're doing this subversion instead. And I'm very concerned of the pacification of the white man right now in America, that they're letting too much slide, and it can happen very quickly, that their power is removed. You can see already, unfortunately, our military industrial complex is getting to a certain degree Jewed. You know, we're getting in the old colloquial terms, it's like a threat to national security.
Like jipped, yeah. No, absolutely. Incredible call. Thank you so much, Godzilla. Yeah, look, I completely agree. And it's very similar to what we've been saying, I mean, the entire time about all of this is just like, if you don't offer a good solution, people are going to go over to the bad guys. It's the same thing happening with socialism. It's happening with Islam.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.